Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
It's the Catalina freaking wine mixer.
Okay. Ah! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
Pow! It's the biggest helicopter leasing event in the Western Hemisphere since 1997.
Pow! This is PFW in Progress.
Why does he keep doing that?
I have to sell or lease at least 80 choppers to make my nut, and you mess with my nut.
Until right now, I'll nail it.
This is a freaking Catalina wine mixer.
Pow! PFW in Progress.
Where did he go to medical school?
He went to Northwestern and Johns Hopkins. Is that good enough for you?
No, it's not.
Well, those are very prestigious schools.
I smoked pot with Johnny Hopkins.
With Fred Kirsch.
Hey, listen to me, you crazy old man. You keep your liver spotted hands off my beautiful mother. She's a saint.
Paul Perillo.
This is the one rule of the house. Don't ever, ever, ever touch my drum set. You understand?
You're going there.
Don't touch it!
All right.
There. I was at about 6 there. You don't want to see me go to 10.
And Andy.
Suppose Nancy sees me coming out of the shower. I'm looking good. Got a luscious V of hair going from my chest pubes down to my ball fro. And she takes one look at me and she goes, oh my God. I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf. And she grabs me by the wings.
Shut the heck up!
Andy Hart.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I really need a job. And I will take any position, as long as it doesn't involve having sex with old ladies for money.
It's a MILF convention here in Indy.
Eric Scalavino.
Long time no see. Is that your boyfriend? Is that your butt buddy? Does butt buddy have a name?
If you're referring to me as butt buddy, yes, I do have a name.
For now, anyway.
Let's play a game.
Favorite non-pornographic magazine to masturbate to?
Good Housekeeping.
If you were a chick, who's the one guy you'd sleep with?
John Stamos.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
PFW in Progress.
Okay, here's a shot out of a cannon. Oprah, Barbara Walters, your wife. You gotta fondle one, marry one, kill one. Go.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm gonna put my nutsack on your drum set, okay?
Do that. I am warning you right now. If you touch my drums, I will stab you in the neck with a knife. Go in the room. I swear to God.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm not sure Tim Tebow would approve of that opening, but that's all right, because this is PFW in Progress, not Broncos in Progress, but it's a big week coming up. Tim Tebow week, everybody's excited about it. That's what's coming up this week, and we're going to have a whole 3 shows to talk about it, as well as the Washington Redskins win 34-27 in D.C. Did you know that it was the first time the Patriots had ever won in D.C.? Well, it is. So that was interesting. I actually wasn't aware of that. I remember the losses, but hadn't realized that they had never won there. So, that in itself is an accomplishment. We'll talk about the Redskins game. We'll talk about Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos coming up. Paul just walked in. I'm sure Andy isn't far behind. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And before I engage Paul in conversation, I just want to say that, a lot of people haven't had a lot of good things to say about this game. But, I'm going to go with the story that I think one of the underrated facts about this Patriots defense so far has been the injuries. And I know that they got rid of a lot of guys for various reasons that have hurt the depth. But I think that there's guys out there that in a normal year wouldn't be playing that are, and they're banged up. And there's obviously guys that aren't playing at all and still waiting to hope to get them back that I think would make a difference, particularly in that game against the run. But I think that everybody's been tough on the defense. They deserve a lot of criticism against the pass, but they're going through some difficulties in terms of health. And, the team is never going to say anything about that, but I think someone else should. And now here's Paul to disagree.
No, I won't. I won't. It's too laughable to bother.
Why? Why is that laughable?
I just don't think they're missing a lot of key guys. I think they have a couple of guys in Spikes and Chung that have You know, they're out of the lineup right now. They played the majority of the season. I don't see really any discernible difference between what happened earlier in the year and what's happening right now. That's the thing that has me most concerned is, general, even last year, and you know I was not a huge fan of the defense last year, but when they played some of the Little Sisters of the Poor down the stretch, they seemed like they were getting better, and they seemed like they were improving. Now that they're doing the same thing this year, and they're allowing 24 to the Colts and 27 to the Redskins, and really fortunate to only allow 27.
I think they were getting better until Spikes went out.
Well, I mean, just the facts would disagree with you on that, that's all.
No, I do.
Spikes was getting better. The defense as a whole wasn't and Spikes getting better, he had a good game the last game
and
he played.
And I think when your inside linebacker is getting better in a Belichick defense, that will make your
your
defense better.
But I think Spikes played better in the last game he played than he had played previously. I don't know if that was good. You and Andy seem to think that he was ready to supplant Gerard Mayo.
Yes. No, don't.
That's an argument that Andy and I had, and you agreed with him.
Supplant him?
No. Yes, he's better than Mayo.
I think they're two different. I think he was bringing more to the table. Now, remember, at that time, Mayo was fresh off his knee injury. So Spikes had to step up, and he was. And, you know, he does bring things that Mayo doesn't. Energy, I think, you know, Spikes is a low-key player. Mayo, I'm sorry.
Yeah, listen, like I said, I think Spikes played a good game the last game he played. But I just don't think injuries have had a huge part of the defense. I actually think you talked about the game itself, and I agree with your assessment that a lot of people weren't overly excited about this one. But I think it had as much to do with sort of a choppy offensive performance. I think we've all come to just sort of accept the defense is what it is. But offensively, I think there was things in that game that have people concerned about the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, against a good defense in the playoffs.
Did you?
Because I didn't think they couldn't run the ball.
Do you give any Shanahan any credit? Because Bill,
absolutely,
Bill seems to keep saying that. You know, he seems to. I don't know why he doesn't do it against all teams, but he seems to understand
Belichick
and the way Belichick coaches, and he matches up well.
Game plan.
Yeah, he matches up well against Belichick.
He game plans.
Yeah.
Like Bill does, and that gives Bill problems, because when Bill doesn't know what he's going to get for sure, he has a hard time preparing for it.
Yeah.
That's just why I don't understand why every coach doesn't do some elements of that. I understand doing what you do well. You know, I mean, I think there are elements that the Patriots bring into every game because they do it well. You know, they don't flip-flop, you know, 180 degrees very often. But to just sit there and say, well, we do this, and that's how we play, and we do it very well, we're never going to change, I think is stupid, and it's suicide against
Tom
Brady. They
certainly didn't game plan against Gronkowski.
Yeah,
answer to him.
See, I actually think they played Gronkowski far better than the Colts did. Now, the results aren't there.
Right.
They were right on him
on
all of those plays. Gronkowski is just flat-out better.
Right.
There's nothing you can do when your guy is better than their guy. And I think the Colts ignored Gronkowski. He just caught passes with no one near him.
Right.
That's not what happened on Sunday.
No.
Gronkowski just made better plays because he's a better player.
Did you know that the Patriots had never won a game in D.C.?
Yeah. Yeah. That was part of my preview. Oh. Again, you guys are really starting to make me feel bad.
Sorry. I probably did read it.
They haven't played. I mean, the trick part of that is they really haven't played in Washington very often.
No. Was it five games?
Yeah, I think it was like three.
Yeah.
So they have a very small history against Washington in general, and most of those games were played in Foxborough. So it's kind of a trick question.
Yeah.
But weird, weird factoid,
yep,
nonetheless. It's kind of like the Patriots had never beaten Dallas until, like, what, 99?
Yeah.
Something like that. When I think it was Pete Carroll's year. First time they ever beat Dallas anywhere.
Yeah. But I do think Shanahan has something to do with it. As much as I think Shanahan might be overrated overall as a coach, I think he matches up well with Belichick.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's clear that I think Bill is something like 2-5 now, or 2-6, something
right.
like some Spe- crazy
speaking
number
of records,
like that. And Bill doesn't have losing records against anybody.
Speaking of records, Brady's record in Denver is 1-5.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I can't remember all six games he's played in Denver.
Well, it might not be 1-5. It might be 1-4. But he lost in 2001, four interceptions
right,
in the fourth quarter.
Right.
He
lost the playoff
2003,
game.
He lost. In 2003, he won in the Monday night game.
That was the safety.
That's the
game.
One, the safety
right.
game.
Right.
2005, he lost twice in Denver.
Okay.
Regular season and playoffs. So that's three. 1 and 3.
1 and 3.
Let's see. 06, I think it was at home.
Oh, McDaniels.
And 09, I think, was at Denver. So it's 1 and 4 at Denver. But they've also lost at home with Brady. They lost in 02. They lost in 06. Those were games in Foxborough they lost to Denver. So his career record against Denver is bad.
But somebody said 1 and 5 in Denver, and I was thinking, I can't remember all 6 games.
Keep talking. I'll look it up in the media guy.
But this game, though.
No, I won't. The media guides are gone.
Oh, no more media? Somebody took them? Okay. All right. But, you know.
So was our Coke.
The big stories coming out of the game, obviously, Rob Gronkowski finally breaking the tight end
finally
in his second year, you know, breaking the tight end record for touchdown catches in a season. So now he has 15 touchdowns. Just amazing. He had an amazing game. Welker had a slow start, but he came on later in the game. I thought Hernandez was good throughout.
Big drop in the end zone.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny that when that play first happened, and I watched it from the various angles, I thought it was on Brady. I thought Brady threw a low and outside throw, and I was putting that more on Brady. But then I saw some still pictures of that, and, boy, Hernandez had a good look at that ball and sure as hell should have caught it. So, you got to put that one on Hernandez. But I think beyond that, I think he had a pretty good game. Really disappointed in the running game, though. I thought that
it's 1 and 4 in
one
Denver.
And four
that's
in
I,
Denver.
That's what
I
thought.
You were right.
And then there's two other games that they lost at home. That they lost in 02 and again in
6 overall.
1 and 6 overall against Denver, because don't forget in 08 that was Matt Castle.
Right.
That beat them here on a Monday night game.
Right. So but going back to the running game for the Patriots, I was surprised that they didn't run better against the
Redskins. And that's getting back to, I think with some people that I've heard, and certainly some of the stuff on the radio, is offensively, it looked like it normally does on paper. You know, there was, I think Brady threw for 357 yards, 3 touchdowns. Gronkowski had a huge game. Welker was, his normal, efficient self. And they ended up with 27 points offensively, plus the 7 that they got on defense. But it didn't really look like that. I thought Brady looked a little choppy to me. I thought he missed some throws that he normally does. We talked about a couple of drops that he had as well. Looked like he was angry with his receivers all day. This is long before the altercation on the sideline.
Yep.
He had words with Welker. He had words with Woodhead. And ultimately with Underwood that led to the big blow-up. And they just didn't run the ball at all effectively. They could not run the ball at all. They tried in the fourth quarter with a 7-point lead. It was 2nd and 3. They ran Woodhead for nothing. They ran Benny for nothing, and they had a punt.
So these are
situations where you're lining up and you're trying to run the ball and get first downs in the fourth quarter with a 7-point lead, and you couldn't do it. And I think people are a little bit frustrated by that.
And I just wonder, I hate to sound like some of the fans that, whenever there's one guy out there, they're looking for the guy that's not. But why not try Ridley in that situation? I mean, he definitely can hit the hole faster than the other guys, and then once in it, can make more out of it. Why not give him a shot? Is there something going on with Ridley now?
I don't have the answer to that.
Is he banged up?
To me, if he's not playing, I don't want him out there for his first carry in the fourth quarter on 3rd and 1.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Now, if I don't know why he's not playing at all. I don't know why he doesn't seem to be getting the carries that it looked like he was starting to get.
Right.
That culminated with that great performance in Oakland way back when. Seems like 2 seasons ago now.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. I like Ridley. I still think that he gives you a dynamic element that you don't get with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I just wrote this in Ask PFW that we just posted. I don't understand it. Maybe there's some health factors involved there. Maybe Bill is just looking at that running game as sort of a necessary evil, and he just wants to make sure that we don't do anything to screw it up. Ball security is more important than anything else.
I mean, that could be
it.
He just doesn't want any mistakes in that situation.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, I have to run to keep them honest once in a while, but I'll be damned if I'm going to turn it over when I do it.
Right.
Maybe that's what he's thinking. And Benny doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, that's the one thing you can say about
it. It was good to see Fletcher back. He started off strong, but I think he kind of petered out toward the end of the game.
I agree.
you know.
I agree. He did. He made a couple of tackles early, and then it looked like Roy Helu got it going a little bit, and all the linebackers really struggled. I thought Mayo had a tough day.
Well, you got the thin air in D.C., so they were a little tired.
Oh, wait. That's next week.
Oh, that's next week? Okay.
the thin air.
I think when Carter had that strip sack and Wilfork recovered for the touchdown, I thought it was game over.
I did. I thought
this is going to be a blowout.
I thought the game was
that
over
never happens
before
for
that.
The Patriots. You know, you never have those. You know, rarely have those plays so early in a game.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be tough to overcome for Washington. Yeah. But they got the ball back the next time, went right down the field, 80 plus yards, and scored.
And as much as you know, Washington, you know, people want to detract from Washington and you know say it was all the Patriots allowing Washington. I think Washington played a pretty good game. I think Grossman. Grossman played a pretty good game. You know, it wasn't like he was.
I don't think he did anything out of the ordinary. I don't think he had to make any tough throws. I think he made all routine throws to guys that were wide open.
I saw Carter hit him, you know, a split second after a lot of throws. It wasn't like he wasn't under pressure.
You also consider that they didn't have their two starting tackles and they couldn't really bother him?
The Patriots couldn't. Yeah, but, you know. Just like we say sometimes when guys step up on the offensive line here, you know, it happens with other teams too.
Yeah, I was surprised that there wasn't at least some pressure on Grossman. Well, I mean, he had the big one early, and I don't want to dismiss it because it was, I mean, in retrospect, you could say arguably the play of the game. But it happened really, really early, and really they didn't have a whole lot of pressure after that.
Well,
they didn't take away his first, you know, if they took away his first read – then maybe there was some guys around him, and he got hit as he threw a couple of times, but not many. Yeah. Not many.
So, but I give some credit to Washington. I think they played a pretty good game.
Sure. Freddie, this game went exactly the way I said it was going to before the game.
You thought it would go this way.
I didn't think they were going to lose the game.
Right.
I thought the Patriots would have it. I thought the Patriots would do what they did at the end and score, and then maybe Washington would get the backdoor cover.
Yeah.
But, you know, through three-plus quarters, it was similar to the way I envisioned. I think Rex Grossman is head and shoulders better than what you faced the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, going back to Tyler Palko, Vince Young, Dan Orlovsky. Did I miss one? Did I miss a stiff?
No.
Okay, then 3 weeks. I thought Rex Grossman is an NFL quarterback. Those other guys aren't. They're not NFL passers anyway. Maybe Vince Young is an NFL quarterback, but he's not an NFL passer. And they had a hard time holding those guys down.
Well, what I thought going in was if they protect Brady, he will torch them. And from I heard one person on the Patriots, I won't say who, after the game agreed with me, said should have scored 50 points.
You know, they probably left points on the field, no question about it. And I thought that Matt Light had one of his best games of the season against Arakpo. Didn't notice Arakpo a whole lot. Kerrigan was a little bit more active. But I didn't notice them getting it. They got pressure, but they didn't get there. And there's a big difference.
Oh, and I think that's why Brady was so upset because they felt difference. That they were once again leaving points on the field.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think they should have scored more points than they did.
And
that's part of what I'm saying. I thought it was a little bit choppy offensively.
Yeah, and then we get to the blow up on the sideline with Brady and O'Brien. And
hey, if you're going to have a blow up on the sideline, go all the way. That's a good blow up.
I think the consensus is that people are happy that O'Brien stood his ground and you know didn't back down at all.
How could you not be?
Well, I think in some places like early Favre years, you know, when he was God, you know, fans would never side with an assistant coach against Brent Favre or Dan Marino
or Brett.
You know,
we did get one email in SPFW, which I think is right at the top of the SPFW this week. Saying that O'Brien should be fired.
What?
For going after Tom Brady like that.
Well, that's the first I've heard something like that. That's crazy.
I think he should be promoted.
And I agree with that, Freddie. I did not hear that point of view often in the last day and a half.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, hey, good for O'Brien for, you know, standing up. And Brady even said it. Look, you know, everybody needs to get yelled at.
Perfect.
You know, no matter who you are.
He was perfect.
He was perfect. He was absolutely perfect after the game.
I wish we could have asked him questions right at the time.
That's why we love Tom Brady.
That's why he's great, though, because not only is he a fiery a-hole at times, when he comes back to his senses, he knows he was a fiery a-hole. He's able to rein it in.
But, you know,
James Harrison would have said, that guy's a dog. He would have kept fighting.
We'll get to more emails later, but on this topic, Max sent us an email that kind of mirrored something that we were talking about earlier. He says, the Bill O'Brien blow-up went way too long to have been a simple argument over throwing an interception. Do you think that the Taylor Price cut could have been part of the frustration O'Brien leading up to his blow-up at Brady? 4 weeks ago, O'Brien said he wanted to get Taylor Price more involved in the offense, and 2 weeks later, Price is cut. Do you think Belichick made that decision to cut him mostly because Brady wasn't happy against the recommendation of O'Brien, and when O'Brien sees Brady rip and blame another young receiver, he finally lost his cool out of frustration? We talked about it. I think that might be part of it.
I don't.
You know, I think that...
I mean, that might be a piece of it in O'Brien's head, but I think it's more a case of he probably... You know, we saw it in the documentary when he comes over to Bill and Bill says, you know, what happened to those throws? He was right there. He was getting my feet. Like,
that's...
Initially, it's not Tom's fault. He seems like he's always something to talk about. And O'Brien probably said, shut the hell up.
No, yeah, that was 90% of it.
And that may be like a portion of it, but to me, this is just a case of a coach observing an overall way that Brady handles things, and maybe said that's enough.
No,
Leave him alone. Get off to Quan.
I think that's 90% of it, what you just said. You know, I think O'Brien heard that, and it's like, look, it's not just him, you know? It's good to have those things happen, though, as long as afterwards they talk it out.
And they did. They sat right next to
it. Hug it out.
And they had the Polaroids out, and they were going right at it, and boom.
Yeah.
I got no problem with it.
And I even saw Brady later talking a lot more calmly with Underwood. Because, we watched that play over and over again today, you and I and Paul. And Underwood could have cut in a little bit more. When he came down, he was awfully close to that end line. So even if he had made the catch, he would have had to tiptoe.
And I heard
there's no reason to cut it that fine.
I heard Troy and Dion yesterday on EEI talking about it, and maybe he could have come back to the ball just a little bit. I think there's a lot of faults involved there. I'm sure it's not the perfect way to run it for Underwood. It's not the perfect way to throw it for Brady. It's just one of those things. In the heat of the moment, Brady knew how big a play it was.
Oh, yeah.
You go from ending the game for the positive to, uh-oh.
Right.
They got the ball. They could end the game and came very close
to the Marion Barber play.
We also rewatched the pass offensive pass interference a number of times, and they escaped.
Yeah. We looked at that play, and this is the one, of course, where Washington was offensive pass interference.
Santana Moss in the
spot. It was
Julian
definitely
Edelman.
A chuck by Moss, but nothing different than any other two players do right at the line of scrimmage. You know, it was like 2-3 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And it was no different than any other chuck by any other. So, and the ball was not in the air.
Ball was nowhere near
it
being in the air.
Literally, it couldn't be pass interference. It could be
illegal contact.
Illegal contact.
But they couldn't call that because it was within 5 yards.
Right. So
really, they should have said, there is no flag on the play.
Right. So Patriots got a big break there.
They got a big break. They took advantage. Give them credit. Yeah. You know, that's what good teams do. You don't let them score on the next play.
Yeah, and I think Triplett was bad on both sides. I thought the hit on Brady was a bad call.
So did Brady.
You know, Fletcher had already committed when Brady started to slide. So what do you do? What can you do? You can't hold up in midair. You know, so that was a bad call.
They made even worse by announcing forearm to the head, despite the fact his forearm was never anywhere near his head.
I have a still picture, and he's not even close to his head.
Nope.
I'll actually show it on PFW TV.
Wow, that's
today.
Big of you.
Well, you know, it's just a good picture, too. So I want to compliment our photographers when they actually get a meaningful picture.
Wow.
He's just firing
what?
At various
what?
People,
little,
officials, photographers.
It's hard to do that. You
little
know,
tone there. Little
you're
tone.
Shooting away. It's hard to get, you know, the picture.
For our guys, anyway.
No, for any photographer. For any photographer. Paul's yawning already. He's tired. He wants to move on to the Broncos.
Ugh,
oh, God, no.
No.
I'm not looking forward to the rest of this week.
Oh, come on.
I'm not looking forward to this.
I am totally looking forward to this week.
Everything that we said 7 weeks ago remains true. The guy wins, and we don't know how. I mean, what has changed?
He's getting better. You have to admit,
but what
passing the ball.
He was 3-for-18.
He's getting
Wasn't
better.
It 11 straight incompletions?
Yes.
He's getting better, and
at what?
I am totally looking forward to this week. I think it's just plain out fun.
Well, I think it's going to be fun our perspective because I think it's going to be a massacre. I think if you don't score any points in the first three quarters, what do you think the Patriots are going to have?
Well, their defense. Let's give the Denver defense credit. They have stymied teams. You know, now, but a lot of these teams that they're playing.
But it's not a great defense.
They're playing Minnesota. They're playing Chicago.
I mean, it's like saying the Patriots shut down Kansas City.
Chicago without its quarterback and running back. Minnesota without its running back, and they don't have a quarterback.
Right.
So that's two straight teams without a running back or a quarterback.
I understand that. But they did the same thing to the Jets.
All of the teams that they've played don't have any that. They have played very few good teams in this run.
This is true.
And the ones that they have played aren't really good right now because of the situation. Like, Chicago is one of the quote-unquote good teams they played in this run.
Right.
And as Andy just said, their two best players were
missing. Well, that's what I wrote. I mean, I put
San
it
Diego
in
was in disarray when they played, and they still missed two field goals that would have won the game.
Did I not say that? That the only team that has really allowed them to score any points is Minnesota. You know, and I admit that they haven't played a lot of top-notch teams, except for the Jets, and you know, they managed to beat the Jets, much to my glee.
It's amazing.
You know?
It's inexplicable. But that's the word I keep going to.
What I say, you know, why I think it's going to be fun this week is, you can't beat the Patriots the way they beat the Jets. You can't beat the you can't just hope the other team doesn't score all game and then make a play at the end.
Well, but you say hope. They do have something to do with them not scoring. Their defense is for real.
Fred.
Maybe not Del Rio, but it's for real.
But if you look at the season, it's not. It's a very pedestrian defense. They've beat up on bad offenses recently.
Well, yes.
That's what they've done. They did what the Patriots did to Kansas City 3 weeks ago.
Okay. I mean, I think.
But against the good teams, they gave up 49.
I think they've got some.
Like Green Bay.
I think they've got some smart players in Dawkins and Champ Bailey in the defensive backfield. I think they've got some dynamic young players in Doomerville and Von Miller up front.
As a point of comparison, Freddie, do you know how many times Washington has allowed a 300-yard passer all year?
None.
Until Sunday.
None.
So what did you think of that defense on Sunday?
It was okay.
Sucked.
Well, it was okay. We made them look bad.
They had their two players.
We could have made them look worse.
They had two players that they rely on, and Matt Light took care of them, and that was that. They had no answers.
You know. So I hope you're right, Paul. I hope we go out and just completely decimate
them. It's the same thing we predicted 2 months ago. If you go 3-and-out against the Patriots, you're down 17-0.
You're going to lose.
Yeah. Game over. Thanks for playing.
And that's why I said we had this conversation seven weeks ago when this all started.
Nothing's
I haven't seen
since.
Anything
the
to change
Patriots
my mind.
The Patriots' pass defense still sucks.
If
he still sucks throwing the ball.
If you keep the game in the low teens, he will win it because he has intangibles falling out of his pockets. The guy is a winner extraordinaire. I give that all the credit
that.
In the world.
I still don't know how he makes the other guy run out of bounds or makes him fumble. I don't get it.
Well, he may not be doing that. He with a capital H might be doing
that. Don't forget about the 112-yard field goal to tie the game. I mean,
but even
that happens all the time.
But you can explain that in Denver. You have a strong leg kicker and a lot. Why did he run out of bounds?
Right.
And why did he break did into the free but leave the ball behind?
Did you hear what Prater said about that too, by the way? Very few days in December would you be able to make that field goal. There was no wind. It was unseasonably warm. It's unbelievable. It's fascinating.
And I think it's fun. And as long as the Patriots take care of business, I won't
it's
mind.
It's fun as long as they win.
I won't mind.
So it won't be fun if the exact same game plays out and Green Ellis, first ever fumble in the NFL in overtime.
That's got to happen.
I might convert. I might become religious.
Do you know the bold predictions that we always talk about every Sunday in the pregame? That's the bold prediction this week is Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis fumbles.
At that point, if you can't beat him, you might have to join him. You know, because then that would be too much.
So do I get to bang married women if I join him? Is that how it works?
Oh, you're actually buying into this. You
Hell
think
yeah.
that
I think he's a fraud. This may not be the story that proves it, but
what are you referring to, Andy?
The reports that Lindsey Vonn is getting a divorce and that the other man in this situation is one Timothy Tebow.
That doesn't mean they've had sex.
If he's canoodling with a married woman, I don't care what
maybe
it is.
She just,
it's wrong.
Maybe she's just enamored with him and she's going to leave her husband in hopes that she can woo him.
Get off your knees.
I think Tebow's for real. I don't think
you're
he's
blowing
one of
the
these
fullback.
Frauds.
Right.
I don't think he's one of these politicians that talk about this and then have affairs.
Of course you don't. And you didn't think Lance Armstrong was. And you didn't think Tiger Woods was. You're wrong always.
Well, so everybody's bad then.
No, I don't say everybody.
I don't say everybody's bad, but no one's that good.
Oh.
That I do believe.
Right.
When have I swung and missed on these definitive fraud calls?
Well, you say everybody's bad.
That's not true.
Yes,
I don't.
I think generally Tom Brady's a good guy. I think he has some fraudulent dealings with people in the media, but I think he is who he is, a metrosexual who likes a certain life and all that. I think Tim Tebow's a fraud.
See,
you
not,
really do. You think
I don't? I'm not even talking about that.
I know for a fact he touches little boys' penises.
What?
He circumcises kids in the Philippines.
He had to touch them to circumcise them.
I'm just talking about on the football field. I'm not necessarily. There are things that
there's
about
no
him.
Disputing that.
There
I
are
mean,
things.
That's fact.
There are things off the field that certainly annoy me, but I'm not one of these guys. It offends me. I mean, that's the great word of the day now. Like,
it doesn't offend
you
me.
You know, Tim Tebow's
it.
Offensive to me. Why? Because,
oh, I don't find
because he has a faith.
Why would
that
be
maybe
offensive?
You don't?
Annoying.
Who cares?
Annoying might be a word, or
yeah, it's annoying. I think sometimes to listen to him talk, and he has to immediately say, you know, thank the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, but I don't think that it's not offensive to me.
To be fair, he's just being polite. God gifted him the game. It's only polite to say thank you afterwards immediately.
Well, he believes we all should be thankful.
And he also another.
We're not all being given games.
I'll do another pro Tebow side on this to help
Freddie
out.
You've been giving a lot, believe me.
To help Freddie out. The other thing I hear all the time is people get annoyed and they say, you know, why does he think, you know, God cares about who wins these games or God's rooting for the He never said that.
Right.
He never ever says that, you know, we couldn't have done this without God. He thanks God for making him who he is. That's all. He doesn't think that God is rooting right. for the Broncos, and he's never said that. So that's another pro Tebow side of it. I don't know why it offends.
I said God might work at a Buffalo Wild Wings. You ever see those commercials where the guy always does things to extend the game?
That would be a good. They should get him to do commercials.
God?
No, Tebow. Tebow. And then all these inexplicable things happen
right.
in the game.
For Tebow.
Yeah.
No, four Tebows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Sunday night game when you got out of here the other night, by the way? The end of the game?
You know what? I turned it off when Dallas scored, and I said, the game's over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eli Manning, man.
But I did watch the replays on all the highlights. They had the Jones box, and they went from, like, you know, pumping their fists to, like, I love that. I just
the
love
best
it.
Thing about Eli Manning's performance down the stretch of that game is, I don't know if you saw the highlights, but about four or five plays before they scored the go-ahead touchdown, he dropped an absolutely perfect pass to Mario Manningham on the sideline, and he
right.
just dropped it.
Right.
Hit him right in both hands, and he
yep.
just dropped it. And like the next play, he hits Jake Ballard to get down to the one-yard
yeah.
line. They
Manning's
run a couple
having
plays.
Himself a season.
He's got like six fourth-quarter comebacks or something silly
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he's having himself
that's nothing.
He's having himself a season.
He's the only guy with more than Tebow.
And it's good to just see that Rob Ryan defense, you know, just stand up
imploding
when they really had to.
Every game. They're yeah. imploding every single game.
Yeah, walking now around with that hair.
Oh,
Keyshawn
yeah. was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I got all these friends, and we blow so many coverages. There's too much on our plate. We got a genius who puts in too many this and that. And
yeah, I just love it.
You know
I
what
love
I love
it.
About that?
I'm not a big Giants fan, but I can't stand the
you
Cowboys.
You know what I love about that?
Can't stand the Cowboys.
They talk about, oh, he's putting all these things in, and he's trying to be, you know, these fancy things. When you're putting him in, do you say to the coach, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do on that? Or do you have it down at practice and screw it up in the game and then blame
right.
the coach
right.
for asking you to do something that's too hard?
Right. And you don't even really blame him. You whisper it
yeah.
in the background.
Right.
Yeah.
Five
and
away.
I do think coaches are guilty of that from time to time. They tinker too much.
Well,
and
I never ask enough questions in algebra. I can tell you that. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
He's right, though. That's why I was over my head in that. I never asked any questions.
Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Fred, you honor me by taking my phone call.
Oh, the feeling is mutual.
I wish we could say
God
that.
God bless you, Fred, and you know, thank you for all you do. You know what? I'm taking a humble approach on life this week.
I would just like Tim Tebow to bless me. That's all.
I wish you knew how to rhyme.
You know, shut up, douche. You know what? I got a few points because I listened to your pregame foolishness on my poem. You know what? I'm going to start with a couple of points on Andy, and then I have a question, okay? First, Andy, you know, my poem was a flow poem, but you were too stupid. You couldn't go 2 seconds without saying, wait, that word didn't rhyme with that word. Go figure every three words don't rhyme with each other. Maybe if you paid attention, you wouldn't be such a failure.
Wow. Wow.
Second, I looked at this game, and you know what I saw? I saw a real problem. Fred, I have to apologize for last week. Andy is clearly right. Rob Gronkowski is not the best. I mean, if it was Witten down there, he would have not only broke all those tackles?
He's such a moron.
Took it home. Hey, Andy, how about in the offseason we trade Rob Gronkowski for Jason Witten? You know what? I'm sure Jerry Jones will be convinced to do it if we beg him long enough.
He's such a moron.
We'll win the Super Bowl next
year. Your case was bolstered this weekend.
Do you want to embarrass your school by telling us what school you graduated from?
I graduated from the University of West Florida. Go Argos. I think we're the Argos.
Argos?
Yeah, we're the Argos.
Okay.
And also, Fred, you were also shown to be correct that Gerard Mayo was not just a Jag, okay?
Now, right.
Did you see Patrick Willis? No, and you never said that.
Right.
But he is certainly not a Jag. More people should listen to you, Fred Kirsch, because you have the answers.
You got that right.
You should also watch the rest of the game.
What did he
tell
do
me that,
that
Gerard Mayo is
not
a Jag? He had a bad game.
What did he do?
The other team
ran for 170 yards. Huh?
He commands the defense. He does a lot of things.
Okay.
He is consistent. That is not a Jack. He is an above average player. And you need to start showing him his
I've said all
respect.
Along he's an above average player. London Fletcher is an above
jag.
Average player.
Show respect.
He was a Jag.
I know. I actually disrespected London Fletcher by saying Mayo was Fletcher because all Fletcher does make tackles. Well, Fletcher almost ended the career of your quarterback with far more than a tackle. So Fletcher, sorry, is way better than Gerard Mayo. Why don't you call Pete Shepard's show and you two can
right.
stumble on
okay,
each other?
All
okay,
right.
No. Here's my question, and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
You have a question now?
Yes. Now, will it go down as a mistake for us passing on probably one of the greatest young wide receivers in the game today, Dez Bryant, for probably one of the worst cornerbacks I've seen play in Devin McCourty? He doesn't do anything. Well, I'll let you guys answer that, and I got to go.
Okay. So the question is, big mistake passing on Dez Bryant and picking Devin McCourty.
No thanks.
No thanks what?
For Dez Bryant.
You don't want him.
I'd take Dez Bryant, but I don't think it's a big mistake.
Yeah.
I think there was definitely character things about Dez Bryant, and I think they've
And they're still showing a little in Dallas.
They've shown to be valid.
And he's as inconsistent as they come, which we know here. If you're inconsistent with Brady, he'll cut you.
I think he makes a lot of big plays, but he doesn't make a lot of plays
I think
we were wrong.
And he would lose the ability to make big plays because Brady, if he can't count on him, would just stop looking.
I think we were wrong last year after 1 year to say that McCourty's the next Ty Law, and I think we'd be equally wrong to say he's a bust this year.
Right. Correct.
So let's wait.
It's clear what Tim is very tunnel vision. Whatever the here and now is, he forgets the past, the future, anything else. Devin McCourty sucks now. Did you say he sucked last year when he was a Pro Bowl corner with seven interceptions?
Let's see what year three does.
He was Mike Haynes' partner.
Hold on. We talked about the Denver stuff with Brady and strippers, courtesy of strippers, sends me stats, and I'm not going to read game by game everything. I'm just going to give you his passer ratings against Denver. 01, 57.1. 02, 75.4. 03 was the game that they won, 108. 05, 79.9. 05 playoffs, 74. 06, 79.4, including playoffs against the Broncos, 9 touchdowns, 7 picks, 78.1 passer rating.
No,
so it's not just a figment of your imagination.
Absolutely
he
not.
Struggles against Denver, and half of those games were at home. They weren't all in Denver.
Right. No, Brady has not fared well, 1-6 against Denver. Let's go back to the phones, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We haven't heard from him in a while. But Mike from Puerto Rico's on the
Mike,
line. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing over there?
We're doing fine. Where you been?
Has there been any update? Has Tom Brady been released yet?
Oh, no. It's not quite that bad yet. No. Why do you ask, though?
Well, Randy Moss got in a spat with O'Brien. He got released. And then Haynesworth got in a spat with Pepper Johnson, and then he got released. So I was wondering if we were being consistent.
So you want him to release Brady?
No, not at all. I like the fire. I like the passion, you know. But obviously the results for the last few weeks haven't been, you know, that confidence building as far as, you know, over a last second, standoff against the Redskins and then just barely getting by the Colts, not tying that game. I mean, this is right about the time where we need to get hot. We need to get that offense. We need to get, like, Paul Zero to hot in a hurry. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to take that, it looks like, because they're not building any momentum here.
Evidently, they decided to just wait till the playoffs.
Why waste it now?
Yeah, but we need to, I mean, we need to get it rolling real quick. I see some progress, like, in between series for the defense, but it's got to be a full game effort if we want to make some depth playoffs. So
I think you're really being positive if you see much progress. I mean, it's been really limited. And even that, you have to consider the competition. Like we said this week, you're not going to learn anything this week. You're facing a team that doesn't throw the football. So even if you look good, you're supposed to look good. And if you look crappy, well, now you're in real trouble. But I was one who was trying to find the positives. You know, I was trying to say Mark Anderson and Andre Carter were becoming these impact rushers and the red zone and the points. And I'm sorry. I tried real hard. This defense stinks. That's all I can come back to is they stink.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Did Kevin play the audio again, by the way? Is he out there?
Of
the NFL countdown guys, mostly Keyshawn and Chris Carter.
Not on this show.
We should do that because he played it on the pregame social and it was good. And I think, you know, we obviously have a bigger audience here. This it'll show you exactly what people are laughing at this defense.
Well,
laughing.
I think, you know, I'll say it. You know, you weren't here when I started the show, but I think this defense is beat up, and I think that's one of the untold stories. Besides the guys that were put on IR, I think there's some guys playing right now that aren't healthy, but and wouldn't be playing in a normal season. But I also think that Belichick said something that I thought was very telling yesterday afternoon on WEEI, you know, in terms of the plays that weren't made. He said, you know, it's not like we weren't in the right position. It's just that we just couldn't get there in time. And to me, that's all speed. That's an indictment. Not, you know, he says that they've improved in the communication and all that, but they're still not getting there, which tells me that it's about speed. You need faster players then.
Right.
You know?
It's not a won't. It's a can't. They can't do it.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's, you know, maybe he's saying that in a subtle way, that's the problem right now, is that they know what to do. They just haven't quite been able to get there.
That means you can't fix it.
You know?
Because you can teach them what to do if they don't know what to do. You can't make them be any faster than they are. And you
right.
said, you,
you
know, maybe that's
speed.
Why Slater's back there, because he's fast.
Right.
Yeah, but you negate the speed by the fact that he's not going to diagnose plays as
right.
quickly as
have
a
the
career
instincts.
Safety.
Sure.
So, again, I'm back to the point where I don't think there's a solution. I think it is what it is. They stink. They started the year with me saying this is the worst defense I've ever seen. Looks like they're going to finish the year that way.
Oh, my.
I love every once in a while when Andy just brings me back to, like, my high school locker room. And he just throws the thing. It's not a won't. It's a can't.
Joe,
it's just like exactly what you would hear from a coach.
Joe in Indy says that Tim in Pensacola is Brooklyn Matt without the aid of Google. That is all. Joe in Indy.
Don't listen to him too much. It's not worth your effort.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, 12:43. Come right back. The emails are flying in.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah,
good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
It's amazing.
Guys, this is the thing that's astonishing. This defense, the only reason why they're 32nd is because there's only 32 teams. This defense, is, I'm talking about, they're on a historic pace. They give up 6.2 yards per play. Regardless, now they're very, very fortunate as far as the schedule. The teams you talked about, Miami, Denver, these teams can't throw. The most disappointing part about this defense is their cornerback, Devin McCourty. All right, he was a Pro Bowler last year. He can't guard anyone right now. So eventually that will catch up to you, boys.
Julian Edelman, return man. Matthew Slater returned. They've been playing safety since the start of the season, regular season. They've released 11 guys on defense. Lee Bodden, Darius Butler, Gerard Warren, Albert Hainsworth, late preseason cut starting safety, Merriweather and Sanders. I mean, he's still tinkering. It's allowed him
Boom.
To tinker.
I got
what
shoes.
Was that, Tom?
I got shoes in the car. Me and Keith are Slater and Edelman. Smash that up.
I promise. Right now.
Right now.
Right now. Five years removed from the game right now. I'll go out there and them do. Don't play with me like
Stop.
That.
Stop.
Oh, they did.
I know.
I'm not saying I did.
I know, but come on, man.
Hold on. Look.
That's a lot of disrespect being paid to the Patriots defense on ESPN.
And as I said, they did it again. They followed it up last night with basically the same thing, making fun of Edelman and just laughing.
You know what's funny about that? 5 years ago, Keyshawn couldn't get open.
Right.
Now he can get open.
Right.
He's out of the league because he couldn't get open anymore, if you recall.
I don't mean to be the contrarian. I think he could get open against his defense. No. I see everybody just open by 5 yards.
Then why aren't they losing? I just think there's a...
Because they have Tom Brady.
Listen, as you know... And
you really think the defense has won games?
You didn't just say that. Games. Did I miss that? What? Could you just say that why are they winning games? Yeah. Okay. I think Andy sufficiently answered that. We can move on. They're not giving up as many points as the yards indicate. It's true. But if you weren't scoring any points, you'd be losing. It's true, though, right?
They've basically contributed to one win. Dallas.
You know, I think there's no doubt about it that Bill Belichick agrees in action with what those guys are saying. You don't release all those guys if they can play. Or are better than who you have left or who you can pick up off the street. He's definitely, you know, I'd love to get the true story behind the 2011 Patriots defense, because I think it would be fascinating to really know what's going on, because I think it's unprecedented that this many guys who were kind of tabbed in as first or second stringers are just gone, you know, during the season.
Or irrelevant.
You know?
Like Gary Guyton, I find fascinating.
Well, I think he's banged up. I think he's only active because in an emergency.
But he's banged up, then he plays, then he's banged. Like,
I think if they don't have to play him, they don't.
But he's not even on the injury report anymore.
But I think he's banged up.
But there's a cast of thousands on this thing.
I know.
They have more than the other team every single week. Like, why would they be hiding that one? He's not even playing. I agree with you on Mayo. I mean, the guy takes forever to get up after every play. He limps. He's clearly banged up. And that's one of the negative aspects of playing in New England. No one knows you're hurt.
Right.
Except Bill and whoever. And yet people are going to say, Mayo stinks. People like me. Now, I've been saying it consistently for 4 years, when healthy or not, that he stinks. But people are going
to
say...
Now he's back to stinking.
He's not that good.
You just said he was above average.
Yeah, he is.
Then he doesn't stink!
But I have expectations.
Okay, but
failure to live up to expectations is stinky.
He's an above-average linebacker. That does not stink.
You're right. He's an above-average Jag.
You're
not going to win. Why do you do this?
You know, whatever happens, he's got himself covered.
No, that's Brian Moore. Andy doesn't do that.
He just did.
How did I do it?
Anyway.
He said he's an above-average Jag.
Getting back to...
But I wanted to get back to the ESPN thing.
Yeah.
Because, and Fred, you know, there's been few people that have been more critical of the defense than I have. And this is not a new thing for me. It's gone back to like 06.
Sure.
But isn't there a way to say it without
laughing?
That? I mean, okay, you laugh. But that was, and I don't want to just say like, oh, that's disrespectful. But I thought that was classless. Forget the disrespect to the Patriots players. Like these bunch of former players, you know, being all tough, you know, standing... Like, I don't think it takes much moxie to do what they did.
Yeah.
And I don't think what they're saying is wrong. I don't disagree with their analysis, but I don't think that you have to say it in such a demeaning way.
Chris Carter was the guy who was supposed to mentor Randy Moss. He did a great job.
That's a good point, too. It is. He's supposed to be the level-headed one.
Right. Anyway, so I hope that they're replaying that. Look, Devin McCourty has one arm.
Did you not find anything about that?
Yeah, it doesn't really.
Just because they're bad on defense, you think it's okay to like laugh and chuckle like schoolgirls?
I just think that's what they do.
I don't. I mean, you might be right because
I don't
watch
positive
them.
Too.
I don't watch them.
Last night was a Gronk fest.
I mean,
where all these jokes and giggling about how good he is.
But they're making fun of Matthew
Gronk
Slater and Julian Edelman. You know, you aren't going to do that to me.
But that's kind of my point.
You know,
that's like schoolyard bully mentality,
right?
That's kind of my point.
See, it doesn't bother me.
I don't disagree with your analysis. I think they're not good enough.
It would be like making fun of, in a way, Tyler Palco. You know,
I disagree. One's a quarterback.
No, true. But
I have no problem making fun because they're just doing their best.
Make fun of Scott Pioli for having it that's your backup.
Okay, yeah. This is you articulated my point far better than I did.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem here isn't with Julian Edelman and Matthew Slater.
But I think that's why they're laughing about it.
But they're not saying it. Come out and be a big tough guy, Keyshawn. You know you have a good relationship with Bill, or you once did anyway.
I'm not sure
this year
still
doesn't seem like he does because he picks against them every week. But, you know, get up there and say, Bill Belichick has let this defense down.
Right. Don't make fun of two guys that are doing what they're asked, you know, even though it's not their position.
You know, Berman is rattling off all the guys that let go. Isn't that the time to say, why is James Sanders starting in Atlanta? And while Matthew Slater is starting in New England? You know, Fred made the point. He wouldn't have let these guys go if he didn't think he had better. Well, obviously, he doesn't have better.
Right.
He made a mistake. And it's hurting the team. Now, you could argue that the defense would be just as bad if James Sanders was playing safety instead of Matthew Slater. I find that hard to believe.
You know, if it truly was all about speed from the beginning, you know, I could see them getting rid of James Sanders. But, you know, because he wasn't the fastest guy.
Nope.
Brandon Merriweather was fast, but he was stupid. You know, all these guys, it's true. Right?
He just got done. Big tough guy sitting behind the microphone making fun of Matthews. He's stupid.
No, look.
You didn't say that last year when you were telling me there's no other safeties that were better than him.
I don't think there's a lot of good I think that the safety position in the NFL, you find few and far between that are really
good.
But
you argued that he was a fine starting safety.
I thought he was okay as far as safeties go.
He doesn't even play now. You know what he does? But, he puts his uniform on and does not
his
play.
His problem is and always has been upstairs.
Right.
He has, you know, physical skills.
But some of us saw that problem when he was here.
Yeah.
You saw it when he left.
His problem is upstairs. And you think that maybe eventually he'll mature. He never did, okay? I'll give you that. But, you know, Sanders, if it was speed, I could see him getting rid of Sanders.
Yeah.
Lee Bodden, they gave up on because they're just sick and tired of, A, his attitude, and, B, just always being injured. You know, and it's like,
I mean, it's pretty clear that they didn't think he was hurt.
Well, whether or not he was, they were tired of waiting for this guy.
Well,
you know?
But that's frustrating when you think a guy is okay. He's checking out with your tests,
right?
And you think he's okay, and yet he can't.
Well, I don't
play.
Know if that's a fact. I don't think he was checking.
But
I don't think a lot of what you said was fact either.
No, none of what you said is fact.
Just throwing stuff around.
It wasn't attitude related.
Well, and what were they waiting for? He was playing,
off and on, and then you know coming out of games.
Well, so James Ahedebo, get rid of him. Comes out of every game three times.
But they. Well, maybe what Paul is saying is true is they might be more convinced of what's going on with Hedebo. And by the way, he's another guy that's playing banged up.
I know.
You know?
But I think if he were healthy, he still wouldn't be good enough.
He shouldn't be playing.
Well, on a team with decent depth, he shouldn't be. But this team doesn't have it right now.
It's not about depth. It's about the top.
Well,
of
yeah, I mean, you know.
Screw the depth. They have very good depth. The problem is all the depth starts.
Well, he wouldn't be starting if Chung was here, right?
Yes, he would.
He would.
Have to have two safeties. Oh, wait, Slater's now our starting safety?
Maybe.
Don't laugh at the defense, though. Paul will get mad at you.
As far as the free guy,
maybe not allowed to laugh.
Wait, that's not what I said. See,
Bob Costas over here on his high horse driving
through.
See,
that's just poor to me. That's just poor to me. Fred,
there's no place for laughing in sports,
but
according to Paul.
I think the analysis was there to have, they could have had, I thought, an intelligent discussion and instead chose to just laugh and say, I could put my sneakers on right now and go out and beat them.
The only thing I think is unfair is you're holding them to a standard that's not them. That's what they do.
I said to you, I don't watch them on a regular basis.
Pro or con, they're stupid gigglers.
Had Kevin
they either
not,
giggle about how great somebody is. I never seen any. You see that play?
Yeah, I don't watch them. I don't watch the Monday night countdown thing. And if Kevin didn't get that audio for us, I probably never would have heard this.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either.
So, I mean, hats off to the monkey in the booth for finally contributing. As I told you on Sunday.
Kind of like Gerard Mayo's interception. Sooner or later, you're going to get one.
Mike in sunny Florida says, do you find it weird that no other team even kicked the tires on Eric Moore per his interview? Does that mean that his skills are only good for the 32nd ranked defense or just that he is better than another second-round bust Jermaine Cunningham? Also, the Skins game was so disappointing because it appears the defense is actually getting worse, and it was against a team that has averaged 15 points a game over the last 10. Adam Jones seemed to think it did what it had to do and made a stop when needed. What? That was pure luck. Thanks, says Mike. So
it was pure luck because they scored a touchdown on the play before.
Although a lot of earlier drives were extended by penalties, you know.
It was an ugly game.
You know.
The problem is I thought both teams looked ugly. And you're supposed to be the good one, the one that should look good.
Well, teams play down to their competition sometimes. Green Bay.
Patriots. You know. 2 weeks in a row, they played two teams with a combined four wins this year.
Who's Green Bay played down to?
Well, they have some games that are close that shouldn't be.
Which one?
You know, they give up a lot. You know who's 31 in defense? Green Bay.
Do you know who has never trailed for 1 second of a fourth quarter all season?
Well, that's good.
Do you know who's been tied once in the fourth quarter all season?
You know, they've given up quite a few yards themselves. The
yards are
Packers.
Irrelevant, I thought. It was just points.
Okay, so is that what we're doing?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so don't say it then.
Because we don't say points anymore because now we give up a lot of points.
If you're not going to side with that part of the argument, then don't bring it up.
Because
I thought that's what Patriots fans did. You changed it every week.
Go. You say what you say. Let the Patriots fans say what they say, okay?
But
don't use their argument.
I'm using you as the Patriot fan because Andy and I don't have the opportunity to talk to everybody. You represent...
I thought you were a man of the people,
you represent. No, that's Andy.
Oh, okay.
I hate the people.
Oh, okay.
You represent
the people,
I thought
it was Andy
right
behind there. The velvet rope, not
well,
you.
Well, that's the irony of it, yeah. Is he claims to be a
well,
man of the,
the
people.
The only difference is you
spends
can
his
be
time
lured out with
a
Miller
Lite.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I just say, oh, when you go out there to get your Miller Lite, bring me one.
When we're not talking about the Patriots, I'm a very affable sort. But I just would say to you that not all points allowed are created equal. When you're allowing points in a 46-6 game the way the Packers did the other day, it's a little different than allowing the game-tying touchdown in the second half, like the Patriots did Sunday, and then nearly allowing another one only to have it overturned by penalty. I mean, do you not think that's a little bit different than allowing...
Oh, sure.
You know,
oh, sure.
I mean, the Packers literally have not trailed in the fourth quarter all season.
Darius writes in.
You know how that plays out.
They'll do it in the playoffs.
No, they'll do it in the Super Bowl to Tebow.
Well, that's the playoffs. Playoffs, Super Bowl, same thing.
Imagine if Tebow got to the Super Bowl.
It's actually, by the way, stupid of me to think this way in any way, but this defense, in my mind, is horrendous. I can never see a team winning a Super Bowl with this defense. It would take something inexplicable and, like, just a great story. And I don't think that's going to happen this year, because if anything happens that's inexplicable and it's the story, clearly it's going to be Tebow. He's going to make the playoffs and he's going to go on this run. So you even lost the hope that you're the freak story of the year and your defense comes together, because Tebow's a better freak story.
Right.
What would be – see, I think it would be even – what would be the worst unit to go? The Broncos offense or the Patriots defense?
Oh, Patriots defense.
Well, they had a poll on NFL.
I disagree.
Willis McGahee is pretty good.
I think the Broncos'
Eric
offense
Decker
is as bad as you can get on offense.
They had a poll today on NFL.com. It might still be up there. What is the bigger story this year? The Packers going, you know, perfect, or Tim Tebow? And Tebow won 53-47, or is winning 53-47.
All he does is win, baby. People are stupid.
Darius in Virginia, love that Bill O'Brien was willing to get in Brady's face. Is it ever Brady's fault? It
nope.
Seems every time there's a questionable pass, the fault is placed on the receiver and not Brady just saying, well, yeah, usually it is the receiver's fault. It's Tom Brady. The only thing I like
no,
about...
No, he took that one. Oh, that one. Remember in the documentary? Oh, that one.
The only thing I liked about the game was seeing Brady willing to run. If nothing is open downfield, then he can gain some yardage as opposed to just throwing it away, and now you're 3rd and 10. Now, I am not talking about running like Vic, but if nothing is open downfield and Brady can gain 3 to 5 yards safely, then why not?
Well, it's not going to be safely because he can't do
but
it
I've,
safely.
But I've said for a while that he needs to do that, and he's doing it.
And you're wrong.
I'm right. Well, other than that, I'm very disappointed.
I think you saw a good reason on Sunday why it's not something we should be looking for.
Well, he
for.
Needs to slide sooner. Other than that,
but if he slides sooner, then it's a 1 yard gain, and it was a useless play.
Other than that, I'm very disappointed and worried since we seemingly cannot run the ball in our defense. Are you going to start... Really?
Start what?
You know. He lifts his knee over his head when he does it. My God, he's like a gymnast when it comes to expelling himself.
We're on the radio, Fred.
That's why I'm graphically describing it. Other than that, I'm very disappointed and worried since we seemingly cannot run the ball and our defense is so porous. How are we going to keep good offenses off the field?
You aren't.
If your defense is bad, then it would help to sustain long drives that eat up the clock. With that said, the upcoming game against Denver will be very interesting to watch. Their defense is good, and with Tebow and that option package Broncos run, it can prove to be a long game for the Patriots if we don't get up on them fast. So, at what point, if it's a low-scoring game, do you get worried? Like, If the Patriots haven't scored 10 points by the middle of the second quarter, are you worried?
Mildly, but if you go in the into the third, if you're in the third and it's close, I'm worried.
Okay.
If it's in the teens in the second half, I'm worried.
You're worried?
Yeah.
Okay. Phil writes in, just wanted to say how pleased I've been with the addition of Andre Carter. He's been great on the field as well as being a great presence off the field. One example of this was his response to the harsh call that went against him over the weekend. Carter simply accepted that he needed to not make that mistake again. You contrast that with Santana Moss's reaction after the game, as well as others around the league like Harrison, who continually rail against officials. Carter has been a true professional and is a credit to himself as well as his organization, the country, and the world. I threw in the country and the world. And hopefully he'll get a few more sacks, too.
I hate that.
What?
I hate the high road. I hate it.
I think it's a lot easier to take the high road when you win than it is when you just came off the field where the call against you
just
cost you the game. And cost you the game.
Yeah, and it just happened, too.
I mean, Paul, I mean, Fred, we saw it. That was a terrible call. Santana Moss was right.
It was a terrible
now,
call.
Now, I don't think he needs to go down the whole road of we don't only have to play the other team, we have to play the officials. That's ridiculous. But it was a bad call.
But Carter's thing, I think it was a bad call and a bad rule. You know, I don't... Even by the rule, I don't think that was roughing the passer. But the real problem there is the rule.
Yes.
And there is a difference there. Now, I don't even think it was roughing the passer by the rule. But when you put a rule like that in the books, that's what the referee's going to look at.
Andre Carter.
Hey, hit him low.
I thought he hit him low.
I thought it was a bad call.
I'd be the first one to say it was a bad call.
No, I know you would.
I think he dove, he came up short, and hit him low. I mean, I don't think he intended to.
It's a terrible rule.
But I think it was just, that's the way it was. I think the ref called it right.
It's one of the many that castrate defensive players. You know,
I thought the Wilfork call was wrong. Yeah. And other people.
See, I
thought that was fine.
I thought, I had much more of a problem with the Carter one. Wilfork, to me, unnecessarily drilled the guy down with force. The guy was on the ground.
And he was about to get up.
So just touch him and he's down. That's it. Game over.
I don't think he has to lead with a forearm and his head.
Vince Wilfork.
He extended a lot more energy to do what he did than he would have by bending over to touch
him. It's a lot tougher for Vince Wilfork to bend down and touch him than to just dive.
But even if he had just gone over and fallen on top of him.
Did you watch the play? Even if he does a belly flop on him, he doesn't get a penalty.
He doesn't get a penalty.
He led with a forearm and his head.
He excessively drove
him to
the ground.
He tried to hurt him. He's not a dirty player, except every time I see him play, he does something that looks dirty.
He used him as like a pile drive. Yeah. I mean,
was an Dominican Sue play. I've seen Sue do the same thing when you lead with the forearm.
Yep, and I saw the same play happen early in the season with Washington against the Giants, and a Giants guy got called for it against the Redskins. Same play. It wasn't a hit in the head. It was just an unnecessary hit
rule.
To a guy on the ground.
If you give the officials the ability to deem something unnecessary, that was unnecessary.
Now,
I don't need a specific
On the
rule.
Other hand, I think that Harrison should be put in jail.
He needs to be suspended because it's not going to stop.
They did. They gave him one game.
He officially got one game?
One game, yeah.
That's the right call.
I'm not sure he needs jail. I think it's more like
a
padded room.
I'm not kidding.
I think he has some psychological
The guy's
issues.
A repeat offender. He will not change.
He does all the time,
He does not ever go for the waist.
You know, and I don't care how he tackles or whatever, but he intentionally throws his head forward like a weapon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's spearing. Like, I heard Peter King had this long... Did you see? I don't know if you guys saw any of this yesterday. Peter King had this long, drawn-out explanation of why Harrison shouldn't have been suspended because McCoy was looked like a runner at the time. And I totally agree. He looked like a runner.
So what?
But I don't understand why that makes the hit legal. Peter King's point is it's only illegal to make a tackle helmet-to-helmet on a quarterback.
That's not true.
And that's completely not true. It's not true. I've seen many helmet-to-helmet hits that get called. Now, in the interior line on a running back with a linebacker, you're not going to get a helmet-to-helmet call. But in a play like that, if that were Adrian Peterson, the flag should have come. That was a spear. He intentionally used his head and thrust it down right into Colt McCoy's face.
Made no attempt to tackle with his shoulder pads.
If that was a running back, it should still have been a penalty.
Yeah.
That's spearing. There's a penalty in the rule book for that. And I don't know how anyone can say that he didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah. Let's see. Rob writes in quickly, what do you think for Sunday? Tebow passing over or under 300 yards?
Under.
Under.
Under. So Patriots defense is good.
Let's
go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Nothing. How you doing?
I'm not bad. You know, another win.
That's really all you got there, huh?
Well, Slade is pretty bad at safety. This just in, but obviously that's old news. I mean, that play where he tripped over a header bow on that reverse was, like, just awful. I mean, I was laughing. I had to replay it, like, twice on the TV. My brother was hysterical. We were watching it. It was just like, what is this?
Bad news bears.
And then I didn't know, on the deep play to Stallworth that McCourty got beat on, was Slater supposed to have cover? I mean, obviously you don't know the defense that was called, but was Slater supposed to have, was he supposed to be back deep? Because he bit down on that when they showed the replay. Like, he came down in the box, and like, it's almost like he bit on the ball. He did. He bit on the play action.
Right. Yeah, I don't know specifically, like you said, I wouldn't absolve him from anything there. I mean, it is what it is. But the bigger thing there is kind of like what I was saying earlier with Paul. Like, you're laughing at Slater and Edelman if you're ESPN, which I think is fine because they're kind of jokes. I think when you put a wide receiver out there, you're kind of making it a mockery in and of your own right if you're Bill Belichick. You can't laugh at Devin McCourty. This continues to just be, you know, and I know he made quote-unquote plays late, but early he was the target.
Why is it quote-unquote?
Because he was...
He made two good plays.
But he was like 2 for 19 in the game.
All right, but he made some plays at the end with one arm.
Blind squirrel. Not
one arm.
Stop. If he's on the field, he's got to play, Fred. Stop with the one arm
stuff. He's got to play because there's no one else.
Well, that's your fault.
Not mine. I don't have anything to do with it.
I'm talking about the team.
I know, but he's still putting in yeoman's work with one arm.
He was awful.
One arm.
That was probably the worst game he's had all year.
Two great plays.
Yeah, one on a 3rd and 20, by the way, after another... a holding call negated a 26-yard
pass. Pass interference was a bad call.
Yeah, well, you're insane for that.
The ball was already by him.
What?
Yeah. He tackled him.
Even Christian's laughing at you.
The ball was already by him.
You're an idiot. You have now listeners laughing at
Chicky
you.
Ticky tack call.
Fred, anyways, just forget it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. This one's not going to go well.
I quickly became Paul. Just forget it. Move on.
So let's talk about the positives. Gronkowski's pretty good.
He's a beast. He's the best player on the team right
best
now.
Tight end.
I agree. Actually, Paul and I were talking about that. We did a poll a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's even more appropriate now. Which Patriot is playing his position the best? And it's clearly Gronkowski. He's better than Welker. Yeah. He's better than Brady. He's better than anyone else you see at any position. Now, the only thing I got in trouble with yesterday, people got mad at me, as I said, we may be seeing one of the greatest seasons ever for a tight end. You know, this may be Moss 07, where it's just special. Don't expect this. Don't think, well, he's going to be 14 touchdowns every year. Or we may not, getting back to our other argument that...
Game's changing.
The game's changing, and there are endless great tight ends.
It's true.
So we may see now, every year, at least one tight end having 14, 15, 16 touchdowns.
Especially if they don't supplement this receiving group with some talent.
But I'm not even just talking here. I'm saying...
But they may not have the options.
You know, if Andy Dalton is great, the kid in Cincinnati might have a great year. Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
You know, any of these people... Yeah.
See, I don't think Jimmy Graham will ever get, like, 15 touchdowns because there's too many options there.
Right. But I just think to say just because, he passed Gates and Vernon Davis, well, those were also relatively recent. It's a different league.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like every team has a good tight end. So when you pair a good quarterback with a good tight end, you could see big numbers
tight
in that position.
Quarterback's best friend.
Yes, it's a burgeoning position.
Yep.
Yeah, there's Finley, there's Pettigrew, there's a bunch of them.
Just everybody.
Every team has at least a good one.
Yep. And on the whole thing with Brady on the sideline blowing up, I mean, you know, he's done that. He was yelling at Joey Galloway 2 years ago. I mean, he does it. You know, and I just think it gets back to the whole pressure of the offense knowing that they really do have to score.
Well, that's it.
A field
I mean,
goal, but a touchdown every single
right.
time.
Right, and to Brady's defense, I think you're right, Christian, and thanks for the call. I think that there is a lot of pressure on him. I mean, you know, I'm sure that he would never say this, but he looks at that defense too and says, "Oh, geez," you know.
Well, that's what I mean. He went from closing the door on the game to, in his mind, we just gave them the ball back, and I know they have to go 80 yards. But they might be able to go 80 yards, and they actually did.
And these things add up. Herman has been hanging on for about half an hour. Hey, Herman.
Edwards.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
The Herminator.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But I just had two questions for you guys. The first one is,
I think that it's a realistic expectation that the Patriots might be able to get into the Super Bowl. But what are we going to do if Green Bay or New Orleans is there waiting for us? How do we win that game?
You don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Unless
score 100.
My only hope by that time is that Chung is back healthy, Spikes is back healthy. You know,
this is the second time a caller's laughed at you.
I just want to state it for the record. I haven't said a thing.
Okay.
Back to back callers have laughed
at you. So if they get into the Super Bowl against the Packers, you're going to say no chance, shot.
I won't say that.
So then you're going to have to have some intelligent reasoning.
I don't think there's a shot they're getting there, though.
Score 100. No. Yeah, I don't think there's a chance.
They could beat any team they play if they score, 35 to 45 points.
And you'll need turnovers. You'll need a couple turnovers.
I think their offense is pretty good, Fred. I've said that from the start.
But it can be had. It can be slowed down.
I agree with you, Herman.
Okay, well, fair enough.
I do. I would be very surprised for them to get there. Let's put it that way.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they need to pull off upsets to get there. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, fair enough. But my second question was, what happened to that guy we drafted, Markell Carter and Rozai Dowling? What happened to those two guys?
Dowling's on IR and Markell Carter's on the practice squad. And he is a very raw player.
I was a little bit surprised when we talked about Eric Moore a little bit ago, I was a little bit surprised they didn't opt for Carter.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Instead of Moore, who's been playing all year. This guy, what's Moore been doing all year?
Still think he probably is a better option because, A, he's played in the NFL, he's played here, he knows the system. Markell Carter's, A, a guy who didn't dominate at a lower level, and B, was at a lower level. I'm guessing him learning the defense is not easy here. I would have been stunned if he stepped on the field to play defense. If it were just special teams, okay, maybe. He's an athlete, he can run. But I think they wanted somebody. And it doesn't sound like they really wanted Eric Moore. It sounds like, the way Bill described it, they just needed somebody who was ready to go, and he was the closest thing of ready to go.
That's why I was surprised they didn't go with Carter.
Yeah, I think Bill knows he's... Eh. He did nothing in the preseason to show me anything.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
And he did very little in his college other than measure 6'4 and be 4'6 and all that crap. I mean, he didn't dominate a low-level football. How do we expect him to be dominant here or even competitive? Huh? Anybody else want to laugh at Fred?
I don't know the answer. All right, Herman.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for the call.
See you, Hermie.
Let's stick to
is
the...
that Hermie the... Don't we have a Hermie the Great?
Yeah, but I don't
on SPFW?
Would he have said he is Hermie?
508-298-0398 is the Kirby. Ace Ticket Hotline. Guess who's on the line? Jeff in Vegas.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Hi, we need to get a theme song for Jeff in Vegas, some kind of Vegas-y show tune.
Told you to take the over.
Yep.
Yeah, Eddie Hart was dead on about the over, but Paul Perillo about the backdoor cover.
See, if you had listened to the pregame social, you'd be swimming.
Yeah, you would have a little piece of everything. And by the way, Andy, great Kevin Collins, Gerard Mayo comparison regarding like a once in a blue moon, broken clock, right twice a day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Motif. But yeah, I can see why Kevin is in such high demand there locally amongst broadcasting companies, because that was pretty cool.
I hear they're fighting over him. I don't want him. No, I don't want him.
That's what I'd be
saying. I don't know the exact source of that rumor. I don't know if that was
Kevin.
Talk about self-promotion. Maybe Kevin is taking after
Scott Pioli. You,
Jeff in Vegas a little bit. Anyway, it was Vegas is really enthralled with this Tebow mania this week. Believe it or not,
I can believe it because this is something that could get somebody who doesn't care about football interested and say, "I'm going to put money on."
I haven't seen a line yet, but was it Patriots by a touchdown? 7
minus 6.
Six. Close enough.
It opened minus 6. I checked
it. So obviously Vegas agrees with us, me and Andy anyway.
Yeah, total.
I mean, that's a heavy road favorite.
Yeah, and when you look at it historically, I think when we say Brady is 1-6 against Denver, some of that is Shanahan, obviously no longer there, which we saw the effect of last week.
Some of that was Elway.
Just so you know, none of that was Elway.
Well, I'm talking about the Patriots overall against Denver.
Well, try to listen to the caller. Yeah.
But I'll never forget, Paul will remember that Mosi Tatupu fumble.
He rarely fumbles. Fumble! Yeah. that was miserable.
So that'll be revisited with Ben Jarvis Greenells. He's never fumbled.
Literally, as he's rounding the corner, I think it was Dick Enberg said he rarely fumbles. It might have been Don Crickey.
Oh, Christ.
But anyway.
Who cares? It was an old white
coach. Literally, as it came out of his mouth, the ball was on the ground, and Dennis Smith picked it up, returned for a touchdown to win the game, 26-19. I'm going to go 84-ish. I'm going to go 84, maybe 83, 84.
Jeff,
yeah, well,
what?
CBS jinxed Brady, of course. They show the graphic. He hasn't thrown a pass in over 200 attempts, you know, and then of course, he gets picked. You know, yeah. CBS did that.
Yeah, that's why he was jinxing. Mad. What's the total?
The total is 46.5.
Take the over.
Yeah,
it's hard to get it all by yourself, Andy.
Yeah, you could have a 43-3 game and you'd lose it.
Dangerous game.
I love when he chimes in.
You got the altitude. You got Prater making, you know, 6-yard field goals or a piece of cake in Denver. I'd imagine, you know, this week, and then also just the sight test. This is 2 weeks in a row. Like I'm watching the game, and you know, at the sports book with probably about 150 other football fans. And it's like 2 weeks in a row, the bettors have been infuriated by New England's defense, you know, giving up the points and the yards. And, you know, really at the sight test, the defense is awful. It's very frustrating.
The stat test tells you it's awful, too.
Yeah. And
by every way you measure it. They give up a lot of points, too.
Pekka's Johnson is big. What was that?
Yeah. Sabres Pekka is big, right?
Yeah, and Andy, speaking about the Eric Scaladino word of the day, a burgeoning position. That's you must have been studying with Eric.
Why, did he use that? Oh, no, that was me.
No, it's a Scrabble word of the day.
Oh, really?
No, but it's something that he would do.
I did very well on my SATs, and I did go to a very distinguished university.
We all know for some reason you tested well.
I don't use them. I have the words.
You went
I don't
to Tufts,
need to beat people over the
passed,
head.
You passed the exam to become a teacher with right. which you had no qualifications. Right.
That was one of my greatest ever, I'll have to admit. I had all these people tell me it's impossible, you fail it. I failed it 5 times getting out of teaching school, and I passed it.
And last thing, super quick, there was a big Boston Globe article the other day about Bob Kraft and Steve Wynn, and I think their word of the day was bucolic. They want to maintain the bucolic aspect of
the gambling part of it is going to be nestled in the corner.
Deep in the woods of Gillette Stadium.
Right.
Yeah, I've got my real estate agent scoping out territory for me there. What's the feeling that, you know, that you
there isn't a place to be had. Everything is sold and booked up. You can't find a place in Foxborough. It's all, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing to be bought or rented.
Well, the creation of 17,000 new jobs, that should, as I say, the real estate values should increase exponentially.
They should. You just can't get here, though, so don't even try, Jeff.
Right, guys.
All right, Jeff. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's a Seinfeld reference.
Quite a hatchet job on Robert.
When they went to Italy.
Which is the place, I'm trying to skip
Tuscany.
Right past
Tuscany.
Tuscany.
Go ahead.
Can we skip past stupidness?
Yes.
Quite a rip job of Robert this morning when I was coming in listening to Maddie in the morning. They were really kind of shredding the idea.
Because of the casino?
Yeah, and him and ruining his legacy, and you can't mix philanthropic people with gambling and just this whole...
Oh, that's nonsense.
They were shredding him, and I was... Is he not a friend of the Kraft Empire?
I don't know.
Who was this?
Maddie.
Maddie in the morning?
I think he's a friend of the Krafts.
Might not be anymore then.
Guys and Eric says, Pete, Pro Football Talk says that the Patriots clinch a playoff spot if they beat Denver this weekend or the Jets lose. Didn't they already clinch last weekend since they own the tiebreaker against the just-end-the-season Jets? No.
No.
Because there's 3 games left and they only had a 2-game lead.
That is correct.
Tiebreakers only work if you're tied.
But that is true this week if the Patriots win.
True.
Or the Jets lose.
Who are they playing?
Jets, who are the
Jets?
Well,
if the Patriots win, they clinch the division.
That's it, period.
They don't need a Jets loss.
No, but if the Patriots lost and the Jets lost, they would also clinch.
Yeah, yeah, but didn't you say and?
No, I said or.
My bad.
Yeah. Who are the Jets playing?
I don't know.
Jets are playing Philadelphia. That's the game that they did not...
And Vic is back.
That's the game that CBS protected.
Right.
Vic is back. He played last game?
He played last week. That's kind of why they did better. I heard. I didn't see the game. That's what I was told.
Do we have any more callers? I want people to laugh at you on the air.
Dan is on the line, and Harriet. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
Hi, Dan.
What's up, Harriet?
Yeah, she's doing good. Just done with classes for the semester.
How'd you do? Did you feel good about your finals?
Those are yet to come.
Oh.
I'm on my day off. That's why I get to call in on the Tuesday.
Should be reading.
But my last professor was very nice. He actually bought Harriet a few new toys.
Oh, but, nice.
A little parting gift, but anyway, I want to talk a little bit about the defense and then Gronkowski. No, maybe it's just now they're actually playing a, you know, a higher caliber of opponent, but it looks like they're getting worse.
Yeah, I don't think they're playing a higher caliber of opponent.
I mean, this this particular week, I think they did based on the previous two or three.
Oh,
but
yeah,
they've been in a stretch right now where they're playing ineptitude.
Yeah.
Well, because like the one thing we thought was that, oh, well, they're good in the red zone. Well, now it doesn't look like they're very good in the red zone either.
Yeah, I don't think they were ever great in the red zone. But.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they were okay in the red zone this week. I mean, weren't they like two for four?
Well, I think you take there was the big play off of the option pass, but I thought the other times when the Redskins were in the red zone, they were pretty effective.
Yeah, no, they weren't. Not they were half and half. I think the first drive of the game, they got inside the five. They were at the one, I think, and they stopped them. And then,
right.
Of course, you know, as always, it's an asterisk. The other team jumps offside for no apparent reason and ended up having to kick a field goal. And then I think they scored two red zone touchdowns. And the last possession, that was a red zone stop. Again.
Ish.
Again, you got another asterisk with a touchdown getting. But two for four I don't think is terrible.
Yeah, it's not too bad, but yeah, but you said they've also gotten some breaks. But I'm not.
You need breaks.
Especially when you're this bad.
When you're not, yeah, they're not overly talented on defense. You need some breaks, Dan. They got to have some help, and fortunately, the other teams have been helping a little bit.
Well, yeah, I've kind of accepted that, but I mean, it still doesn't give you any confidence, really.
Nope,
I agree.
But I'm not going to ask the obvious question about Devin McCourty, so I'm just going to ask, like, how does he fix what's going on with him? Because it looks like all those kind of skills that we thought he had as far as, you know, ball control and staying with receivers, it looks like he doesn't have any of those now.
Yep. Well, right now he's got to get healthy. He's got one arm.
What about the beginning of the year when he sucked?
Well, he was getting better.
All right. So not really taking the last two games into consideration, he doesn't seem to be in position to make the plays that he was in position to make last year, to me. I know a lot of people have sort of surmise that he's there and he's not making plays on the ball. I don't think he's been there.
Well,
I think guys have consistently
there.
Guys have been consistently behind him to me.
And he gets there, but in getting there, you are struggling to get there. You take away your ability to make a play. Last year,
he was there.
He was there and then can make a play. So while visually it looks like, okay, he's in the picture, he's right by. He's working so hard to get right by the guy that he's not able to make a play.
Well, what exactly has changed between this year and last year?
A year.
No, seriously, though.
Wish we had an answer. Wish that, you know, maybe we could get Belichick to maybe talk openly about it, maybe off the record, and say, you know, was he as good as what we saw last year? What's going on this year? You know, is it somewhere in the middle? Is this the worst and the best that he could play, and probably he'll settle somewhere in the middle?
Yes.
I don't know. I wish I had someone who knew more about the assignments explaining to me. But it looks to me like he is consistently trailing plays this year, where last year he was with a guy. Now, there were times where guys were behind him last year, but not like this. Andy put it exactly right. He's chasing constantly.
Well, and again, like last year, we were so, you know, impressed by the way he could stay hip-to-hip with a guy and then turn at the right time, you know, for the ball. And that's something that, you know, you can't teach that. You know,
he's no longer smooth, and last year he was smooth.
Yeah,
I would just take all the fun. Last year he looked smooth. It was always just mirroring whatever the receiver did. It was easy. This year, to me, even the pass interferences or jumping things, everything's herky-jerky. Everything's hectic.
He almost seems like, you know, like when a guy starts going on a fly or whatever, he almost is looking into the line of scrimmage and not focusing on his man and loses track. And
that's the one thing that I thought was weird in the mic'd up thing, was it? Sound effects? Where Bill goes, another double move, stuttered him. And I just wonder if that's been an issue. No, this was it last week?
Indy, the Garcon play.
Yeah, the Garcon play. And the tone of his voice, I just took it as, that's been a problem. You know, another stutter move, double moved him. Maybe that's an issue that he has not dealt with, guys running double moves on him, and he always bites, and he's trying to jump the first, whatever. The tone of that kind of struck a nerve with me.
It looks like every player on that team is getting beaten by the double move, though.
Yeah,
at least at one time or another.
Well, that's because they're all, I mean, aside from McCourty, but even he's only a second-year player, none of them have experience.
Yeah.
None of them can fall back on, I'm Ty Law, I've been playing this for eight years, and that guy never runs that route. This is a double move, and I get they don't have that to fall back on, and they're all just, I think as a defense, they're just trying to make a play, and in trying to make a play, they're making it worse.
Right.
Okay. But I just want to talk about Gronk before. before I go with regards to the playoffs, because I think the ship has sailed on the defense. But, and I think, like, you're going to have to, you know, as you said, put up 35 points to win in the playoffs against these teams. So I think with regards to Gronk, it's like, how are you going to exploit the matchups? And I think, obviously, he can't be covered by, like, he's going to get double covered, but if a linebacker is part of that double coverage, he's still going to beat that. Because I think you need a safety and a corner. Would you agree with that?
It all depends on the individuals.
Yeah, depending on who, but he's a tough matchup for every single defender on the field. Whoever it is, there's a reason why he could beat you.
You know, I'll just say this for an example. I wouldn't think that the guy, what's the guy's name from Buffalo, Andy? Scott? Brian Scott?
Sure.
I wouldn't think he'd be a candidate to take Gronk one-on-one. He made a terrific interception
right.
on him.
Well, I think
and I think there's been a lot of times this season on that deep seam route where he's been well covered and Brady's thrown it anyway. Those plays, anything can happen on those plays. There was one on Sunday that hit a guy in the helmet, and had it not hit a guy in the back of the helmet, the guy that was covering Gronkowski would have picked it off at the goal line. It was a terrible decision by Brady. Didn't see him yelling at anybody on the sideline after that one.
But it's good that he can show the confidence to throw it to him because of his huge catch radius.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to be tight coverage in the playoffs. But I think if you want to exploit matchups, the better teams like the Jets and the Baltimores aren't going to double cover him with a linebacker involved in there unless it's, you know, maybe something like a the Ravens, the outside linebacker. I'm forgetting his name.
Jarrett Johnson?
No, the
T. Sizzle?
Pass rusher.
Oh, Terrell
for Baltimore.
Terrell Suggs.
Suggs, yeah, that's right. I think the only way you're going to get the best matchup, you're going to have to find a way to get a linebacker involved in that coverage. And I think there's really two ways that you can do that, and that's to make Aaron Hernandez more of a factor, which, I mean, yeah, he's had some plays, but I think Tom Brady has shied away from him at times. And I know I've said it 1,000 times, but run the ball more effectively.
Yeah, I've been saying that a lot, too. It just hasn't really happened.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
Yeah, I think much like the defense, I think the running game kind of is what it is.
But why? At least on defense, you can say the players aren't
talent.
That good.
I don't know what it
this
is.
This is the same freaking running game you had last year when every week he was getting 15 or 20 carries for 80 to 100
you
yards.
That, you think that Mankins is a little banged up.
I do.
Well, let me ask you this.
They're playing with their fourth center.
Or
you know,
third.
I mean,
yes.
That's part of it.
Let me ask you this.
You know?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, but if you have four of your five and an all-pro tight end, you should be able to run the football. Or try.
You think the defense is worse than last year, correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Significantly so?
Oh, yeah.
Might they be saying, we need to score more?
Yeah.
We can't afford to worry, you know, because maybe we run the ball and it works, but if it doesn't, we're sacrificing the possession. We can't afford to sacrifice a possession. We can't afford to go...
Right.
First down run, get nothing, and all of a sudden it's second and 10. We need two to get, you know, maybe. I don't. I mean, I feel like Berman. I'm not saying.
We've talked about that before.
Maybe there's a little bit more urgency with having to score, and they sit there and turn around and worry, can I afford to turn the ball and turn around and hand the ball off two plays in this series? If I don't get a first down, that could be the difference in the game.
But
I have to score every
isn't
possession.
Isn't there an argument of keeping the other team off the field, too?
Yeah, well, if it works.
If it's never going to work if you don't try it.
But I think they might be afraid to.
Why?
Because if they don't score, they lose.
If you don't stop anybody, you're going to lose.
And I also
that's not the case. They haven't stopped anybody all year.
And I also
they're 10
in the
three.
Playoffs.
And
I also,
they're 10-3.
And I also think that they believe that we should be able to just pass whenever we want. And for the most part, they're right when they execute.
Let's put it this way. If you're Washington on Sunday, and it's 2nd and 3, and they hand the ball off twice... You know, if you're saying to yourself, they're going to hand the ball off the next two plays, aren't you pretty happy?
Yeah, but this isn't about Washington.
No, I'm just talking
about
big picture.
It's about the Patriots being as best they can be heading into the postseason.
But that's the kind of thing that they're going to have to do in the playoffs, we can agree. They have a 7-point lead midway through the fourth quarter from around midfield. You'd like to think on 2nd and 3 they can hand the ball off twice and get a first down. They couldn't. And I think if you're a defense in that situation, you're praying that they put the game in Ben Jarvis Green Ellis' hands and not Tom Brady's.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, have it as a weapon. It's not in the arsenal right now. It's literally not in the arsenal.
I agree. And
what happens if it's a 50-mile-an-hour wind out here and they say, uh-oh, we can't throw today. Maybe we should have run a little bit in November and December to see if we can.
Well,
yeah, but the good news is the other team will have to do the same
thing.
Because Roy Alou didn't rush for a buck 30.
Oh, all right, Andy. You know, they have had some games where they've run the ball for good yardage.
I mean, Oakland?
Maybe.
Jets?
Twice?
The Jets, all the yards came on the last play because everybody on the Jets said, they don't run the ball late. They're going to throw
it. But my point is...
Right?
The Patriots,
80 yards or something on the ground in the last drive?
But the Patriots' run defense
I agree.
Has been pretty good.
Sure. Until it wasn't.
Except for Sunday. Right?
And we might see that again this
week. They had a bad
day. Let's put it this way. If they went into the playoffs and they played Baltimore and it was a day that was so windy that you couldn't throw the ball...
I'll pick the Ravens. They get the better running back. He just rushed for two bills.
Would you think they'd put up a lot of yards, though? Or Ooh. Do you think they might be able to squeak it out?
The Ravens or the Patriots?
The Ravens.
If you can't throw?
Yeah.
I'll take the Ravens.
I didn't say who would win. I said, do you think they would put up a ton of yards?
The Ravens?
Oh, my God.
Never mind.
Enough to win? Well, if both teams know that the other team is going to run...
Would they put up 170 like they did on Sunday? I don't think they would.
No, but they'll put up a significant portion they might more
win
than the Patriots.
Game, they might win the game 13-10.
Doesn't matter compared to other games. But you know both teams are going to run, which team are you taking?
If I know both teams can't pass the ball.
Basically, yes.
It depends. If it's Baltimore, I would take Baltimore.
Pittsburgh. Houston. You don't take Arian Foster? He doesn't take Arian Foster and Ben Tate? What's he doing? They got two running backs that are better than anybody on this team.
I don't think Arian Foster is going to hurt you with T.J. Yates playing quarterback on a day you can't throw the ball.
The quarterback's irrelevant, though. If you can't throw, neither guy can throw, so T.J. Yates is no different than Tom
to
Brady.
But you can't, I mean, we're operating under this hypothetical.
You can't throw!
That can't exist. Right, right. I mean, there's no such thing as you absolutely cannot throw.
There could be.
All right, let's go to the phone.
I mean, even in blizzards, Brady throws it
Anthony,
45
yards. It's raining,
but it's freezing,
hey, Anthony,
so the ball is covered in ice.
What's going on, guys? Hey, you know what, Paul, on that running game, you know what? Scary part is that the very few numbers that they have are all gimmick runs. You know what I mean? Like draws and stuff.
I totally agree with you on that, Anthony. We've come together after 5 weeks of butting heads.
Yeah, it's 41 yards for Woodhead, five carries for Green Ellis.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All of their run yards to me over the last several years have been when they trick you.
Yep.
They can't line it up and beat you.
The only game where they lined up and they're like, we're going to run the ball was that 100-yard game with Green Ellis against the Jets.
And like Fred said, that was a game where the other team got tricked.
They tricked themselves.
They tricked themselves.
Team.
They just didn't think they were going to run.
They think, I think, we think, they think we're going to run, but we're not. We're going to pass.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, but can I tell you something? You know, I bash him a lot, you know, but I got to give him praise this week. Let me tell you something. Billy O'Brien laying into that Cali pretty boy dancing in Mardi Gras was freaking awesome.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I freaking loved it. That Tom Brady deserved that crap. Because I feel like every other play where it's an incomplete, he blames everybody else. You know? And it's like, you know what? You could just see it in Bill O'Brien. Like, it was coming over him, like, just the anger. Because you could see Brady was telling him, oh, you should have done this. And it's just like Bill O'Brien was like, yeah, you should have thrown the freaking ball. And I'm sure it was more expletives than that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I freaking loved it. Good for him. Good for him for dropping his sack.
So that makes him innovative, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's more innovative.
O'Brien just said two competitive guys, by the way, on his conference call.
And
today.
He said his mom called him and was worried about what kind of language he was using.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like, I forget who it was on the Sports Hub, was like, oh, well, you know, Belichick was taking Brady's side because he got in the middle and, like, kind of pushed O'Brien away. I don't think that's
what Brady was sitting down.
And Belichick was stopping a fight because at that point it looked like O'Brien legitimately wanted to fight. That's all Bill was doing.
I do think Bill should have been a little bit more forceful, but I don't think he took anybody's side.
No.
No, exactly. I think they were misleading. The Sports Hub was misleading, saying, like, they misled, saying Belichick took his side. I think O'Brien, because I've been that angry before, you just lose it, you know? Like, and yeah, I know that's a surprise, guys, but yeah, I've done that before. When you just lose it, and, you know, he needed that. You know, Bill was just trying to calm him down. He was like, hey, come on, all right, enough already, we get it, you know, which was great. You know, the only other thing I want to touch on is Tim Tebow. I felt like I've never really talked about the subject. And since it's a Broncos week, and let me just tell you this, my feelings on the man and his beliefs. First off, I want to say I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus, and I don't believe in any organized religion. On that, I actually respect Tim Tebow and his beliefs. You know what I mean? I actually find it quite remarkable that, and I don't think he's a fraud. You know, I don't really think he is. I think he truly believes it. And you know what? It's almost envious that somebody can just believe and not question everything. See, I have to question everything.
No, I hear that. Yeah. Andy thinks he's a fraud, though.
Yeah, no, I don't
think
he's
a fraud,
too.
Maybe he shouldn't be banging married skiers.
But that's not the part of him that bothers me.
And you don't know that he's doing that.
That's what I've read on the internet.
What bothers you guys is it's your brethren, as in the media. You know what I mean? They overhype him.
I agree. Like, the media is the bigger part of the problem than he is.
Yeah.
No question.
The kid is consistent. He always says the same things. He never says, oh, thank God, like God gave us this win. He just says, I like to thank my Lord and Savior. And I'm fine with that, dude. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't bother me whatsoever. And watching a lot of their games, like, I probably saw, I would say, a good 6 or 7 of their games. And you know what it is? When he breaks out of the pocket, everything breaks down around him. He just finds that open guy, and that's what keeps those drives alive. You know, sometimes his throwing motion is just so damn ugly. Oh, my God, it's awful to see, you know, but...
Maybe you should do that more often, then. They would be converting more than 30% of their third downs.
I like him. I know. He's a lefty.
And I'm glad finally, like, you know, a lot of people are coming around because, really, that defense is spectacular. You know, they just slow the pace of the game down, and they just stay in it to the end. And then pretty much the other teams just make mistakes.
That's been their MO, yeah. I mean, there's no reason why Marion Barber had to run out of bounds.
If they keep the Patriots.
Thanks, Anthony.
If they keep the Patriots under 20, then I'll sit there and I'll say, you know what? I was wrong on that defense. That's a good defense. Because I don't really see statistically, I don't see a good defense. I see some bad teams they've played lately and beaten up on, but even one of Tebow's games was a 40-plus point game for Denver. I mean, Detroit. When they play a team that can actually move the ball.
Well, that was early, and they sacked Tebow like 6 times in that game.
Yeah, but that was like his 4th start. It wasn't that early. 3rd or 4th start. Sammy Morris got signed by Dallas. You see that?
Saw that, yes.
Replacing DeMarco Murray.
Really? Yeah. Sammy Morris.
Good to see.
Yeah.
Getting on a plane out of Attleboro. Still been local.
We haven't even talked about the fact that 2 coaches got fired yesterday. Tony Sperano in Miami and who's the other guy?
Todd Haley
Kansas in Kansas City.
Rack is the interim.
Yeah, Romeo Crennel has taken over.
Plus a lot of Josh McDaniels rumors and speculation.
Well, it was interesting because as soon as Sperano got fired, there was a rumor that Carl Peterson was going to step in as head of operations and that Miami was going to go after an A-list coach. And as soon as they said that, I knew that couldn't be true. Because there's no way you bring Carl Peterson in there and then try to woo an A-list coach because they're not going to come in with Carl Peterson running the show.
But is maybe Carl Peterson at the point in his career where he just wants a
president-type
job but not really
well,
GM?
Well, now it's come out that he isn't coming in. He has no plans to come in, he says.
But all of those, what would you consider an A-list coach? Are they all guys that want it all?
Yeah, I would like a John Gruden or a Cowher.
Fisher,
one of those,
Cowher,
yeah,
Gruden.
That's an A-lister in my book.
Probably want final, even if they
but
have
all
a GM,
of those guys would want final say?
I would think so.
Well, I don't even want Carl Peterson around, okay? You know, he's got his own ways of doing things.
What if those ways are right?
You just don't like anybody around the league in any capacity.
Well, that's not true. I like Bill Belichick.
The Patriots announced they've hired Carl Peterson as an advisor.
What is wrong with Carl Peterson?
It's always
been a good
guy.
So just say what it is. You don't like the guy.
The fur coats.
I don't even want him around, he says.
He wears fur coats?
I couldn't even tell you what if he walked in this room right now, I wouldn't know.
The only time I remember
who Carl Peterson is.
The only time I remember seeing him, he was on the media guide cover with Vermeil. They put themselves on the cover, lifelong friends or something, and they were like shaking hands on the Chiefs cover.
Yeah. So
no bigger ego than Tebow has.
Now, if you aren't really going after an A-list coach, you wait for that first to see who you hire, and then you build around him.
But hadn't there been talk that they've already kind of been talking with Peterson?
No, he's been involved a little bit. He's been a consultant.
That's what I mean.
Maybe been talk said, that they're talking.
But yeah, maybe he and I'm drawing blank on the owner, whatever his name is, the nitwit,
Ross
have decided. You know, they're going to hire Cowher, and Cowher likes, I don't know, maybe he has a relationship with one of those guys.
Maybe, but
would I be out of line on the pregame social in 2 weeks if I asked the same guy that we talked to opening day if he still doesn't think that Sperano's a lame duck?
Why, did he say he wasn't going to be fired?
You don't remember that?
No, I don't know.
The first regular season game we had, and we had the guy on, And Andy and I said, you know, it's kind of unfair. We both think that Tony Sperano is a pretty good coach, but he really had his legs cut out from under him by Ross, and he's now like dead man walking. He's a lame duck. Well, I don't agree with that at all. You know, I can't believe you don't remember that. We both laughed.
I believe I laughed, but I don't recall.
We weren't disrespectful to him on the phone. We waited until he hung up before we ripped him to shreds.
That's what we do.
Steven Canton says, great show. Not sure if you guys caught Belichick on EEI yesterday. It was a train wreck. Bill was as salty and aggravated after a win as I've ever heard him. When Big O asked him what the differences are in playing a team like Denver as opposed to Washington, he actually said each week the teams they face have different players.
Those are my favorites.
Well, I only
when you can actually break down the words to have something that silly, those are my favorites.
Yeah, I only listened to the first half, and I didn't listen to the part where they jumped to the next week. But they tried to get him to talk about the Bill O'Brien thing, and he just was not going there. And they kept at it. And at finally, Steve D'Ossi goes, I think he's going to yell at me. I think part of his saltiness was a stupid question.
I don't envy them.
I mean, really.
See, but I don't envy them for having to do those interviews. And I have a couple of times been one of the three knuckleheads trying to come up with different ways to get him to say stuff on the radio. Now, it's different than a press conference, because if you say something in a press conference, it doesn't come out right. No one's laughing. No, you're on the radio, and people are listening, and they're trying to be entertained as well as informed. And he's not going to play along. He's not going to help you in any way. It's a thankless job, and I know that those guys get a lot of static, and I agree. I give it to them. But I give them the static because they think they're asking all the tough questions. They think they're like these intrepid reporters that are getting to the bottom and that they get Bill to open up. I don't envy them for having to do that because Bill is just not – he's so consistent. He's not going to do it.
How do you think those end?
All right.
No. Like yesterday, when he stonewalls him, and Glenn, you know, his pal Glenn asks him, what's the difference between facing Denver? And he goes, well, every team has different players every week. Do you think it ends and Bill goes, whoo, I really kicked your ass on that one. See you next week.
I know that they used to claim, you know, back when it was – when it was Glenn, Fred, and Steve, they used to claim they would get him in here, they would take a long break, and they would, you know.
Give him some vodka.
Glenn used to
loosen him up.
Glenn used to say Freddie would, you know, immediately go in with his nonsense and, like, that's what he would say, loosen him up, you know, get him, you know, kind of get him off guard a little bit, you know, as if they could get inside his head. I mean, it's such an embarrassment.
It's just ridiculous. No different then than it is now.
So...
And if anything, Michael Holly has as good a relationship with him as anyone.
And he gets nothing.
Right.
Not coincidentally coinciding with his books, which got nothing.
Right.
There's nothing in his books either. And it's not because he's not a good writer or didn't know what a story was. They didn't give him anything.
Billy from Kentucky has a question. On the end-around touchdown pass in the Washington game that I haven't been able to find an answer for, when Grossman handed off in front of him, wouldn't that have been considered a forward pass? When was this? The end-around touchdown pass.
I didn't see him hand off in front of
him. I don't think it was. Because that is a shovel pass if you do that.
Not if it's a handoff.
Well, if you hand it off, it's a handoff. But if you, I mean, I didn't see him hand it off in front of him anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a handoff is a handoff.
Right. If it doesn't leave, if you give it to the guy... Like you see a lot of times, like the quarterback will be from behind and he'll like shove it in his stomach.
The wraparound draw.
The wraparound. That's not a forward pass. That's not a forward
pass. That's not considered a forward pass.
No.
Right. That's a perfect example. That little draw, the Beverly draw that we could never stop.
All right. So we didn't.
Sorry, Mr. Linebacker. Yeah. We didn't all sniff him out the way you did back in the day.
If they do pitch it ahead or call the shovel, that is a forward pass, even if it's behind the line of scrimmage. But that is not – I don't think that's what he did.
Yeah, like he had one. He had like a funny shovel pass that he tried to Helu that Tracy White actually made a terrific play on. Instead of like flipping it like an option pitch, he kind of underhand shoveled it, you know, for lack of a better word. It was a little bit different. But that went forward, so if it wasn't caught, it would have been an incomplete pass.
Right. Let's be honest. We've never even known that there's what the exact difference between a shuffle and a shovel pass is because you read it various places. Some people call it a shuffle
pass. A shuffle is when your feet are moving very quickly when you do it.
No, there is no difference in those two words, but people use both words.
Why?
I don't know. What do you go with, shovel?
Shuffle it off.
I never heard shuffle until
it depends on the terminology of the team.
Huh?
Every team has different terminology for the same things.
No, they all call them passes.
No, you know what
we call those throws. We call those tosses. This is like a
what
term.
What you say earlier? It's not can't. It's not want to. It's can't. How did you put it?
Won't. It's not won't. It's can't.
Let's go to Georgia where the big Chetowski is. Hey, how you doing, Chetowski?
He's not just big. He plays big.
What's up?
I want to go back and talk about that running game that Andy brought up, and I'm going to agree with him. I think it's very important to have an established run game. And even Brady said so himself back when, you know, the whole thing of, oh, we're a balanced team now. We were running Vinny, and, you know, they ran Oakland and they ran on the Jets, and then it all went to crap, you know. I mean, I don't know where it went, but don't you think that you're limiting your quarterback and limiting the plays that you can do if you don't have an established running game, because you're not going to have very effective play actions if the defense, you know, isn't going to bite on them because they know you don't run.
Well, that's true. It definitely, if you're not running the ball, play action becomes irrelevant.
But they still seem to use it well. Play action still seems to work.
I haven't really seen it that much, though.
They had one a couple of weeks ago when they had the linebacker came up. What game was that, Andy? Philadelphia. The Welker play. The safety bit on the play action fake. Welker was wide open deep down the slot for a touchdown. They had
And another good one was when they were playing the Jets, you know, and that safety bit on it. But once again, they were running Vinny pretty hard in that game, even though it was late in the end. But I just think that it's more important than, you know, they're playing it out to be. I don't think they should shy away from it, whether it's use Ridley, use Vereen. They got to get somebody in there, especially getting into the, the postseason. I mean, that's going to be important because people are going to be tired, especially your receivers, and you're going to want to have some extra guys to go to in the running game. But that's all I got, guys. Chew on that.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I think we need to just realize that this team is going to be Welker, Gronkowski, and Brady. If you win games, probably going to be Welker, Gronkowski, Brady. If you lose games, it's probably going to be because we say this linebacker or this safety took away Welker and Gronkowski. I mean, we can keep saying they're going to run the ball and they'll magically flick this switch and that switch and turn this dial. That's been the consistent all year, and maybe Gronkowski's good enough now. Maybe we're going to just say this guy is having the greatest season ever. He's undefendable. And it's great, but I think we know how they're going to win and how they're going to lose.
Gene in Daytona writes in, he says, during last week's pregame social, Paul asked Andy if he could soften his tone a little. So Andy tried, but I felt something missing from the show. Then Tim from Pensacola's poem came in, and Andy was back to being Andy.
Yeah, Paul, it was a tonality issue with Andy.
Paul had a hard time trying to read Tim's poem because Paul could not stop laughing every time he read a line of poetic beauty, Andy tore it apart. Tim's poem did not rhyme sometimes, but was a valiant try considering sometimes. Tim's arch enemy, Andy, was dissecting every word. I thought Andy and Paul were great and had me rolling on the floor laughing at Tim's expense. It was the best thing I heard all day. I hope Tim is a good sport and does not give up his poetic dreams.
No, he called him a douche.
I don't know how Tim ever got on Andy's bad side in the past, but if I were Tim, I would sure consider calling a truce with Andy before the next poem he sends in.
Who was that?
That was Gene in Daytona.
Yeah, Andy's got a tonality problem. We got to the bottom of this on Sunday. He says things that are perfectly legitimate, but the way he says them, you want to come across the table and strangle him.
His poem didn't rhyme.
But that wasn't what I was talking about. His poem did not rhyme, Fred.
I wasn't the only
not
one.
Not all poems rhyme.
Yeah, no, this one was supposed to rhyme.
It was supposed to. It was set up perfectly to rhyme, and he had words that were close to rhyming, but didn't rhyme. It was terrible.
It's like, you know, sometimes in songs where they say the word funny to make it rhyme?
Right. And Paul was trying to do that for him. Paul was even reading words funny to try to make them rhyme. It was terrible. On the same day he was graduating from college or wherever.
Western Florida.
Argo. Is that an Argonaut?
The Argos.
Why are they calling themselves Argonauts?
You asking me?
Well, he didn't even know. He says, I think
we come to you for all things Florida.
Yeah, I thought you were from down there, and you went to school there for
Tampa.
6 years.
Tampa.
That's not near Western Florida.
My nephew comes home today for break from you, Tampa.
Down by Clearwater, St. Pete.
Okay, go ahead.
Philip from Nova Scotia.
Philly!
Can Patrick Chung be our Bob Sanders? from 2006. I don't think he can because he wasn't before he got hurt. But I still hope he can because I need something to hold on to as we head toward the playoffs. This 2011 Patriots team does remind me a little of the 06 Colts, a high-flying offense that started to sputter a bit down the stretch and into the playoffs, the Baltimore 5 field goal games, and a much maligned defense that greatly improved down the final stretch with the return of Sanders. Is it a stretch to compare these two teams?
The Sanders thing is interesting. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Chung wasn't a dynamic playmaker like Sanders was when he was young. But you could still get a lift from a guy coming back healthy that you were missing for 6-7 weeks if he comes back. So I do think you could get a significant jump from Chung, assuming that he's able to get back in and be 100%. But the whole the Colts thing, the Colts offense was good in all the other games. It just had that one game against Baltimore where they kicked 5 field goals. They scored 38 against the Patriots, like 24 against Kansas City, and would they have like 30 or something in the Super Bowl in the pouring rain? So they only had one game where they didn't score.
Plus, who are we going to face that's going to start a career special team or undrafted player at linebacker that allows Gronkowski to run all
over
the field,
Fred,
and win?
See, Fred, that's the tonality thing that I was talking. If he had just said, but they have special teamers, it comes off as all different than that little snarky, right. Like, it's a tonality issue, Fred. He's like Felger.
Aaron writes, in great show as usual, I have a few comments about the pass game and the NFL in general. I'm a little upset with Gronkowski. On that first catch,
I'm sensing the sarcasm alert coming.
Good, Paul. On that first catch and run, Brady set Gronk up perfectly with a low pass away from everybody so that Gronk could just make a diving, rolling catch and then scramble past 6 defenders for a touchdown. What is up with Gronk only breaking 3 tackles while dancing on the sideline? Really? He can't break the 4th and get in for the touchdown? All I could think during that play is, I wish we had Jason, God's gift to the QB Witten, on this team.
You know what that looked like to me, that play? Did you ever see those NFL films of John Mackey?
Yeah.
When it just looks like every single guy in the defense took a shot at him.
Right.
Even though it really was only the same guys that went on Nantucket
and
sleigh rides.
The last guy, I think he thought he was out of bounds and he kind of let go.
Yeah, the guy that was out of bounds, I think thought.
Yeah.
And I actually had said to Andy, is that one of those like electricity things from when you were a kid when you're out of bounds?
Right.
If you touch the ball, they consider a kickoff out of bounds like that. It almost looked like he did it on purpose. And D'Angelo Hall is standing right there. The two guys had him all wrapped up, and he actually, it was like another one of those things. I don't want to hit him because I don't want to get a penalty.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the guy's running 40 yards down the sideline.
And then D'Angelo Hall just kind of looks, he's still running.
And he starts running. He goes, SOB.
Jason, that's why D'Angelo Hall has a bad reputation.
Aaron, and picking up flags and throwing them on the field.
Aaron says Jason Witten would have gotten in for sure. He probably would have run back to the other side of the field so that he could break all 11 tackles before doing a Heisman pose in the end zone. I guess I'm just getting fed up with Gronk continuing to ride Brady's coattails. Next on the list.
God, I hate some of our listeners.
Next on
They're
the
real
list
douches.
Of things
what,
that,
you know what they are?
Me?
They're you!
Next on the list of things that chap my bag is the love affair this league has with the Packers. What has this team done to impress people? I think the Wilson Phillips power rankings are right.
Hey!
Wilson Phillips!
Drop a name, just not mine.
Houston is the team to watch out for in this league. The Texans have been tearing up teams like the Falcons and Jags, whereas the Packers are just getting cupcake teams like the Giants and Lions. More people need to get with this Wilson Phillips thing is all I'm saying.
Who's this douche
again? And lastly, I'm sick of people being critical of Pittsburgh's Mendenhall. I know he had 4 chances to score from the 2-yard line and failed, but why don't people see how ridiculous he is? And I also don't agree with suggestions that he should change his first name from Rashard to Rush Soft. When he gets the red zone, I think people are being too critical of running backs. Unless, of course, they have Patriots jerseys on, then they are too old, not explosive, not impactful, and injury prone. And any success they have is probably related to how well the quarterback hands them the ball. Okay, that's all for me, Fred. P.S., can Eric ask a follow-up question to Bill about the Redskins' field? On TV, it looked mostly like crabgrass out there. Did Bill see the same thing, and could that have contributed to Brady's interception? And that's sarcastic Aaron, by the way.
Was Bill the original?
Sarcastic Aaron was the original?
Yeah. Bill did say that. He didn't say it out, but he did not like the
less
field.
Than ideal, I think, was something he says.
He was not happy with that field.
Yeah, you got kickers kicking the ball out
and
of bounds.
And it sounded like he didn't know, and I don't know if it mattered, that the end zones weren't going to be repainted. He said that wasn't his understanding. And
but he thought it was kind of cool, he thought.
But what did that have to do with anything?
Yeah, that had
I just got the feeling he didn't feel like he was kept in the loop on anything that had to do with the field. Like it sounded like he didn't know that maybe they resawed it or didn't resaw it in certain areas.
They just need to do a better job next year. I think it's great that they play that game in Washington. Just make sure the Redskins are on the road that week. Is it that hard?
No, it's soft. That was the problem.
Well, it goes in soft. It comes out hard.
Right.
Or actually,
no,
it's the other
it
way around.
It goes in hard and comes out soft.
Right. The way around.
John Rook is nodding approval to the other way around.
John Rook knows how to get
John
to Tijuana.
John just gave a ooh look. What's up, John?
SOS.
Yeah?
It's all Tim all the time.
All Tim all the time. It's a big week.
See, we're not going to let our listeners
now,
down
Tim,
the T-Bow
I mean,
talk.
Tim.
John can take care of it.
John, do you, when you anticipate this week, you know, as it, you know, it's Monday and you look at, you know, we have until Sunday.
Yes.
Are you already annoyed or are you looking forward to as this is going to be fun?
That's a great question. Yesterday I was looking forward to it. Today I'm annoyed.
Really? Okay.
Now that it's here.
But let me preface that by saying that, you know, I have to realize that most of our audience probably really hasn't had a chance to discuss, dissect, analyze a lot of the way that local talk radio has done here. So in that vein, that's why, you know, I'm fully prepared to take that on today and throughout the rest of the week.
Right.
This being said, my personal preference is, oh, God, again? So you know, that's just, you have to separate the two. That's all. That's all. I mean, it's a great story, Fred.
Well, what
it's still a great story.
What I started doing yesterday, I started looking at Bible quotes, and I want to change them. So my first one was, he who is without an NFL throwing motion, may he cast the first interception. So that was
I like that one. That's a good one, actually.
That's from Patriots 12:12.
Patriots
so now
12,
I have to come 12. Up with a Patriots 12:13 quote today.
Paul's just like you're just rolling his eyes.
I want to have fun. This is a fun week. Let's have
fun. I'm all for having fun. Let's have fun.
That
you
wasn't
you
fun.
You got anything for us?
Got anything new for us?
Oh, come on. I'm
That's
I'm,
very creative, Fred.
I'm all in.
I'm
this
very,
week.
Oh, Fred loves very creative.
Tebow. Fred's rooting for Tebow to win.
No, I'm not.
He is.
No. No, I am not. But
is this let me ask you a question. Zen question. Are the Patriots cast as the devil this week?
A lot of people like to cast us as the Dark Lord.
Yes.
And
the Dark Lord.
Dark Lord.
Dark Lord.
And that's okay,
is that geek talk?
But no, I
is that
don't
like Lord of the Rings.
I think it's
hey Frodo.
I like it better, you know, good versus great, whereas we're great and he's good.
Yeah, okay. He's not even good, but he's magic.
He's different.
Okay.
He's not good in the traditional sense, but he is.
He's blessed.
You must have really liked my matchups. Blessed.
He's great in his own sense.
He's blessed.
He's great.
He's got something.
He's not great. He just wins. That's the bottom line. I'm buying the just wins thing after last week's game.
I'm
all in. We've decided, John,
that
Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis has never fumbled in his life. Right. He will probably fumble this week to allow the Broncos to win.
To win, yeah.
And
well, I like Tom
Jackson. You can't explain it, but I'm buying.
Tom Jackson says, you know something crazy is going to happen in this game at the end. Like, the horse is going to come out.
He did, and kick
like,
the sticks down.
Right,
and then Welker falls, and Gronk trips over Welker, and he tackles
you know something's going to happen.
Just not going to be a close enough game for any of these things to happen.
I'll put it to you this way.
I hope you're right, Paul, because I wouldn't be
I'll put it to you this way. If it does happen like that and something quote-unquote divine happens like it did this last weekend, that's it. I mean, I think we should end the season, give it to Denver, let's start over.
Oh, I said I'm converting. I'm all in with the religion if it happens. If you can't beat them, join them.
I think the kid's a winner, and I thought that at Florida. I haven't really changed. I can't call him great until he actually puts points on the board.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're in the teens every single game.
Right.
Low teens, mostly.
Right.
You can't win consistently doing that.
Unless you're him.
Well, they have.
Well, look no, they haven't. They've played eight games.
Okay, let's also give some
John
credit.
John Skelton is 5-1 with the Cardinals. Is he doing the same thing?
Let's give some credit, though, to Denver's defense. That
he
are keeping them in
too.
Games, too. All right? I think that's one of the things that we have to look beyond just the fact that this is Tim Tebow.
They're the ones.
Denver's defense is the one that,
Willis McGahee and
We have to get going because we have to film our show.
You have to do TV now.
Yeah. It's like mid-sentence. Let's go.
No, I just looked at the time. It's 5:05. All right. John, have a good show.
Thank you.
A lot to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
Washington, Denver coming up. And then Pete coming up at 4. I'm sure he'll have an interesting
rant.
Take. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.